It's in the Marina Village Shopping Center across from Wells Fargo Bank. Try one of our specialty pizzas like the Ginger's Island Paradise, or for the meat lovers, a Meet Me in Paradise. We're open Tuesday through Sunday and offer a banquet room for up to 80 people. We deliver to Marina and CSUMB.
Call 582-9149.
It's a pizza paradise.
That's 582-9149.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News. I'm Harley Carnes. Women facing menopause were told not to take estrogen supplements a few years ago if it might lead to breast cancer. And it might. They didn't have to tell them twice.
Some evidence, according to researchers at the University of Texas, there was a big decline in the rate of breast cancer in 2003 compared with 2002, down 7%, down 12% among women 50 and older with a breast cancer that needs estrogen to grow. That's the most common type. This just around the time doctors such as Larry Norton at Sloan Kettering Cancer Center in New York told women with hot flashes, etc., not to go with HRT, hormone replacement therapy.
If you're having some postmenopausal symptom, for the most part, we have safer medications that are also very effective at taking care of those things.
Dan Revive, CBS News.
A bipartisan commission on education and jobs is calling for a dramatic overhaul of public education.
The rewards for the country would be a worldwide competitive workforce, a fantastic economy, an increase in the quality of living, and better communities throughout this country.
Commission head Charles B. Reed says among the proposals to eliminate grades 11 to 12 and ask a lot more of the students through the 10th and pay teachers more and demand a lot more of them too. The families of the three men have not given up. Three hikers still stranded in the heavy snow and high winds that assault the top of Mount Hood in Oregon. Far from giving up, says Karen James, whose husband Kelly is up there.
My husband proposed to me on Mount Rainier, and we're planning our 50th wedding anniversary there, so I know he's coming off this mountain.
And their 50th is a few decades away yet. Those hikers have been stranded since the weekend. New Jersey's legislature has voted yes, both houses, to civil unions by homosexuals. The governor has already said he'll sign it. South Dakota Democrat Senator Tim Johnson's bleeding brain has been repaired by surgeons in Washington. Conditions still critical at ICU. CBS's Howard Arenstein with the latest on the senator.
A statement from the Capitol physician says Johnson is having an uncomplicated recovery from brain surgery, which corrected a congenital defect. Dr. John Isold said the senator has been appropriately responsive to both word and touch, and no further surgical intervention has been required.
It's a moving sight without the decorations, but the vision of row after row of Arlington National tombstones, thousands of them following the curb of the hillsides, with a wreath is moving. A company in Maine for 15 years has donated them. CBS's Karen Brown.
It was incredible today to see on the white headstones, to see these beautiful green evergreen wreaths with the red bows, just row after row after row. It was very beautiful in a very sad way.
On Wall Street, the Dow was up 99 points today to close at almost 12,417. The NASDAQ gained 21 points, and oil prices $62.51 a barrel, up $1.14. This is CBS News.
The big one, really big, really,
don't
really big.
Don't miss the big one at Kohl's this Friday and Saturday. It's our biggest sale of the season. Save extra during power hours, featuring 100 Night Owl and Early Bird specials. Friday, 3 p.m. to midnight, and Saturday, 6 a.m. to 1 p.m. Save an extra 15% on diamond jewelry, already 60% off, and all toys already 10 to 50% off. Get an extra 10% off all kitchen electrics, already 15 to 50% off, and a digital camera, only $89.99. It's the big one this Friday and Saturday. Kohl's, expect great things.
One night, Sunday. One network, Showtime. Two back-to-back killer finales.
Your world is never going to be sick again.
Starting at 9, 8 central, don't miss the heart-pounding conclusion of Sleeper Cell, American Terror.
Find out where the nukes are coming from and intercept them.
Then it's the shocking season finale of Dexter.
See you at the next fun back.
Never miss a party.
One night, two finales. Sleeper Cell, American Terror, followed by Dexter. Sunday starting at 9, 8 central, only on Showtime. To subscribe, call 1-800-SHOWTIME or go to SHO.com.
The steroid scandal bites another world-class athlete.
The latest to be charged in the Balco steroid scandal is former world-class cyclist Tammy Thomas. She faces three counts of perjury for allegedly lying to a grand jury when she said under oath that she never used performance-enhancing drugs. In a written statement, the U.S. Attorney's Office says the Balco investigation has now entered a new phase, going after individuals who lied to federal officials. One of those under investigation continues to be San Francisco Giants slugger Barry Bonds. Steve Futterman, CBS News, Los Angeles.
The Navy likes the look of a blood substitute made by a company in Massachusetts, and they want to test it in America's emergency rooms. The product is derived from cow's blood, and military doctors say it could make a huge difference in the battlefield. That substitute blood would be used for the badly injured when donated blood is unavailable. Those people would be obviously unable to sign consent forms. Harley Carnes, CBS News.
Brenda Coates is a real GEICO customer, not a paid celebrity. So to help tell her story, we hired Mr. Burt Bacharach.
Last year, I was rear-ended by a GEICO customer.
I was hit in the rear.
First thought in my mind was about that funny lizard.
Lizard licks his eyeball.
I was so impressed with how they handled my claim, I switched.
I hope I'll never get hit in the rear again.
GEICO. Real service, real savings.
Life may never be clean, but with Hoover, your floors can be. Hoover Floormate cleans all your hard floors. Hoover Wind Tunnel 2 Upright vacuums your carpets. Buy them together and get up to a $100 mail-in rebate. So use Hoover and keep it clean. Offer varies. See Hoover.com and participating dealers for details. Expires 1-7-07.
Peter B. Collins!
Who need? Oh, that Peter B. Collins. Welcome to another edition of the Peter B. Collins, a scintillating progressive talk show that originates in San Francisco. And we do this without scripts, with a basic outline of where we're going, and lots of room for your interaction via the telephone, or you can email me. Our toll-free number is available to you through the entire program. You can call us at 888-5-PETER-B. That's 888-573-8372. You can also email me, Peter, at peterbcollins.com. And I appreciate all the emails I get. On today's program, the News Dissector returns. Danny Schechter from MediaVision.MediaChannel.org. He'll be with us in about half an hour. And next hour, we'll spend it with our regular contributor on military and veterans issues, Scott Dick. We're going to have some fun at Rummy's expense. He has now expressed regret about GWAT. That's the Global War on Terror as a phrase. And we might get a call from Dick and W later today. We'll just have to hang on and see. That's all ahead here on the Peter B. Collins Show. We kick off our Thursday broadcast, as usual, with Faz Shakir. He's co-editor of the Daily Progress Report, which comes out of the Center for American Progress in Washington. And you can get it free. Just log on to progressreport.org and give them your email, and they'll send it to you. And as far as we know, they don't share that email with any spammers. I haven't been able to track that down. Faz, is that an income source there at CAP?
No, we don't derive any income from it, unfortunately. I wish we did.
Uh-huh. And it is a great report, takes a look at key issues, offers you analysis and online links to facts and other information. And Faz, I always read my progress report to the, not the bitter end, to the sweet end, and find little tidbits that you hide there just to see if we actually do read the whole thing. And the one that delighted me here is Karl Rove disclosed during a Washington speaking engagement last week that he will not return to his lifetime profession as a political consultant. Now, does that suggest that he's planning to spend some time behind bars?
Well, I mean, Patrick Fitzgerald seemed to give him the all okay, so I'm not sure if that's the subject of his concerns right now. I guess, you know, it's hard to say what's driving this recent comment. It comes from Robert Novak, who's a pretty good source on Karl Rove.
Maybe.
Robert Novak is telling us that in a recent speech, Karl Rove said that he referred to himself as a former political consultant,
yeah,
and said that he was leaving the game, and he wasn't going to, engage in the 08 cycle at all. So it's hard to say what's going on in Karl Rove's head. Perhaps some would like to speculate that he's had a conversion of sorts, but I don't know if we can say that yet.
Conversion to what? You know, like the metric system?
I mean, it also might be, you remember from 06, this last cycle, President Bush came after Karl Rove a little bit hard at a press conference, said that clearly, you know, some of us were working hard while Karl Rove wasn't, because Karl Rove had predicted that he had the math that indicated the Republicans were going to win, and of course that didn't turn out to be true, and President Bush got angry about that. And so, you know, perhaps some of this is Karl Rove feeling like, you know, he's not in tune with the game anymore.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's welcome news, however it evolves and whatever it actually means. Now, Washington is watching very carefully the health condition of Senator Tim Johnson from South Dakota. He suffered some sort of medical incident yesterday. It has now been denied that it was a stroke. But I understand from the last news report I saw, Faz, that he had some brain surgery last night, and that kind of emergency brain surgery doesn't sound promising.
No, it was apparently bleeding in his brain, and it comes from a congenital malformation of his arteries. And that's about all I know about it, except that, you know, today on Think Progress we had a lot of people email us, but not a lot, a couple of people email us and say that they had undergone a similar procedure, and that if you catch it early enough, they said, that if you drain the blood out, that you can recover pretty quickly. And then so they were, and then of course Senator Harry Reid went and visited him today and said that he thought that Senator Johnson was doing well, and that's of course a really great sign. So hopefully this all turns out well for him and his family.
Yeah. Well, we'll be watching that one carefully, because of course control of the Senate does hang in the balance of one senator's health, and that's a little scary these days.
Right.
Another item. Did you have another point?
No, and I just said, you know, regardless of what happens there, we should always, of course, remember that there are certainly lives in the balance here, and we shouldn't forget that his family and he are going through some difficult times.
Sure, yeah. Now, another item here in the progress report today, Cheney doesn't want to be tarred with the Iraq war, and he has been publicly silent and mostly out of sight. Now, he does show up for the photo ops, but the president's been doing all the talking lately, but that's not really new. Cheney has never been front and center, and I have never once seen him in a media environment where you could suggest that he was competing with the president for FaceTime.
No, he only competes for FaceTime when it's about attacking somebody else. He really loves to be the henchman of the administration, and when it comes to putting out the most ridiculous rhetoric, you generally hear that coming from Dick Cheney's mouth, and we haven't heard that in a couple of weeks now.
Mm-hmm. Now, he's not going to pull a Clarence Thomas on us, is he, and just go completely silent?
No, I don't think so, and I think you're referring to this U.S. News report, and it says it indicated from White House sources that Cheney was going to come out and sell the president's decision on Iraq after the president announces it at the beginning of the next year. But what was the interesting quote coming out of the U.S. News report was that one close advisor to Cheney said that Cheney doesn't want to be tarred with Iraq in the eyes of historians, so he's going to let Iraq be Bush's baby. And so we found that quite comical because, of course, Dick Cheney has been at the heart and center of everything that's been wrong about Iraq. He, of course, sold it in the most egregious and false way, and then he's continued to tell us a lot of BS about Iraq ever since, with the last throes and
sure,
it's going remarkably well.
Yeah. And so how does he feel that being quiet is going to help improve his image?
Well, it's tough to get inside Dick Cheney's mind and the dark, deep recesses of it. But it seems that, at least according to this advisor, perhaps he's talked to Cheney, I don't know, he thinks that by not talking about it, people will simply forget about Cheney's role and then let Bush kind of take on the Iraq policy from here on out. And, of course, many are speculating that that will be an increase in troop levels, and so perhaps Cheney doesn't want to be associated with how it all goes from here.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's segue here into just to get your observations, Faz. We're now 8 days past the release of the Baker-Hamilton Iraq Study Group report, and the president has publicly rejected key parts of it while saying that, of course, he's going to study every one of the 79 recommendations and take them very seriously. And now he's postponed a decision until after the holidays. He's got to spend some time on his mountain bike and clear some brush before he can really reach a decision here. And it seems that this is all just a big public exercise to buy time for the president. And one of my theories, Faz, is that the Republicans are going to attempt to find a way to share the blame for the missteps in Iraq with the Democrats as they approach with their bipartisanship extended.
Well, yeah, I don't know if that's the case. I have a different concern, and that is that they're going to come out and say that they want to increase troop levels in Iraq. And on the one hand, I'm tempted to say, well, go ahead, go for it, that's great. You know, that way when this is all, the history is all said and done, people like John McCain can be sitting out there saying, well, if only we had increased troop levels, we would have won in Iraq, right? So it would take care of that argument, I think. But on the other hand, the more important analysis here is that what is increasing troop levels going to do to the situation on the ground, and what is it going to do to our national security? What is it going to do to our soldiers? And I think that the impact on all those fronts is very negative. And so this really is an ideological war going on. It always has been. And I think we're going to see another phase of it with the Iraq Study Group coming out on one side of the ideology, which was that our presence was harming the situation. And now President Bush coming out after the new year, perhaps, and saying, on the other side, no, our presence is needed in more amounts.
Hmm. Well, I think that's going to be a hard sell. And I think if your scenario plays out, I think at that point, if the Democrats don't directly confront the president and say no, then we're going to see an extension of this war by 2 to 5 years.
I'm totally with you. I think it's a grave concern. I think, you know, John McCain, if President Bush were to say this, John McCain will have been the reason. I think it will have gone down. He's been the most forceful advocate of it. And the Democrats, you know, for those who want to run for 08, for those who are concerned about the policy for Iraq, for there's a whole variety of reasons to really come out hard and push back against this and make this the number one issue and talk about it all the time until we are out of Iraq.
We're going to take a break and continue with Faz Shakir from the Center for American Progress. Log on to progressreport.org, and you can get it delivered to your email. 17 minutes past the hour. If you'd like to call us and talk, please do. 888-5-PETER-B is our toll-free number. 888-573-8372. You've got the Peter B. Collins Show. You're listening to KRXA 540. Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey for 33 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place long before you open your mouth. Dr. Turner interviews every new patient so that he'll understand what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Sally, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares.
The holiday season is here again, and what perfect time to take advantage of the great selection and low prices of the finest used cars in the county. At ZNS Auto Dealership in Monterey, they've been partners for over 30 years. Located at 1179 Del Monte Boulevard, ZNS wants to be your partner in choosing that right car for you or your loved one. ZNS has it, whether it's a truck, SUV, minivan, compact, or luxury automobile. Open every day on Del Monte Boulevard, Monterey. ZNS Auto, where partnership works.
Let the touch of an angel make your next wedding, anniversary, birthday, or family celebration extra special. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe, located at 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside, just across from Craig and Auto Parts, offering full bakery, deli, and cafe services. In the mood for delicious Italian pastries and cookies, specially brewed Latin American coffee, or traditional espresso drinks? Come to Angelina's, where you'll find palate-teasing cheesecakes and specialty cakes for all occasions, as well as tarts and pies with a wide assortment of seasonal flavors. Angelina's Deli features fresh deli sandwiches, breakfast sandwiches, and breakfast burritos. Try Angelina's specialty Mexican and Salvadoran dishes. They're simply delicious. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe. Open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Sundays, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Treat yourself to the best, where the old world meets the new in a friendly, clean, casual atmosphere. Visit Angelina's today, 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside.
I am attorney Sean Mills. Sometimes life does not take the direction that you plan. If you find yourself in need of an honest attorney, call me. I can advise you on both criminal and civil matters. Do not settle for an attorney who simply went to college and law school, when you can work with an attorney with significant life experience who uses a common sense approach to everyday legal problems. If you think you need an attorney, I will be glad to offer you a no-obligation consultation and evaluation of your legal issue with no sugarcoating. If you think you have a potential legal issue, it is important that you speak to a qualified attorney as soon as possible. Call me at 831-648-7060. That's 831-648-7060. I am attorney Sean Mills.
Locally owned, the Ugly Mug Coffee House in Soquel Village. Always lively, always wired. We serve the best organic, shade-grown coffees, loose-leaf teas, original bar drinks, and delectable goodies in a friendly community atmosphere. Open every day, 6 a.m. till 9 p.m., complete with music, Wi-Fi, and the craziest regulars in Santa Cruz. Meet your friends or just bring yourself to the Ugly Mug, Soquel Drive at Porter Street, for lively conversations and the best cappuccino in town. Hey, what do you want? Rare frickin' sunshine? Delicious.
The Ugly Mug, Soquel Drive and Porter Street in Soquel.
Collins Show.
I remember when I lost my mind. There was something so pleasant about that place. Even your emotions had an echo in so much space. And when you're out there without care, yeah, I was out of.
You know this part. You can go ahead and sing along.
Does that make me crazy? Does that make me crazy?
I'm your humble host, Peter B. We continue with Faz Shakir from the Progress Report at the Center for American Progress. And the Progress Report has been nominated as the best liberal blog in the 2006 Weblog Awards. And there's a link up on the Progress Report today, if you want to log on there and vote for him. Is this kind of jamming the ballot box, Faz?
Yeah, we're trying. We're trying to pull out all the stops. As long as we're competing, we want to win.
Now, are they using Diebold systems to count these votes?
You know, it's an interesting voting system they have. You can vote repeatedly as long as you vote after every 24 hours. So you can vote every day, basically.
I see. Okay, well, I'll try to do it once.
Well, thank you. Appreciate it.
See if that helps. Now, your main focus today in the Progress Report is about renewing rights of workers in this country, in particular, the right to organize into a union. And this is something that I feel very strongly about, Faz. I've been a member of a union for 32 years now,
and it's been good for me. I often have had health care. Don't currently. But in the past, I earned enough over a course of years that I do have a pension. And it is a pension that is locked away and cannot be grabbed by an employer and diluted or removed from me in the future. So I am very clearly sold on the benefits of collective bargaining and belonging to a union. But the movement has declined, really starting in the 1980s with the attacks by Ronald Reagan. The PATCO case is very well known. And it's been a pretty much a downward slide since then. Bill Clinton was not a big, strong union kind of guy. And while he didn't do things that hurt unions, he also didn't reverse some of the trends. And he had a difficult time because, of course, he had a Republican Congress for most of the time that wouldn't let him put decent people on the National Labor Relations Board and some of the other agencies. But what do you see here as the key issues and what the Democrats are prepared to do to address them?
Well, you know, sometimes you and I, you know, Peter, we get these questions about, well, isn't government just all corrupt and doesn't really matter that the Congress changed hands, right? And here's one of the issues where it really does matter that Congress changed hands, because now you have, with the incoming Congress, Senator Ted Kennedy, and in the House, Representative George Miller, coming in as chairmen of the Senate and House Labor Committees, respectively. And their top priority is this card check legislation, which we can talk about more in detail. And I think it indicates for the first time that there's now a possibility that we can once again empower unions to gain the strength that they once had before some of the movements you talked about under President Reagan and since.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's interesting that you mentioned we had three, I think, key statistics about why unions are important. I'd like to mention them real quickly. One is that workers who are represented by unions earn 28% more than those who aren't in unions.
Right.
The second fact is that 62% are more likely to have medical insurance if they have a union. And the third stat is that 4.5 times are more likely to have guaranteed pensions as long as they belong to unions.
Mm-hmm. Well, and those are significant benefits. Now, one of the problems that I see, Faz, and you know my loyalties, I think that most Americans don't believe that unions are good for them. They think their self-interest is, you know, like a baseball player or a CEO, is to be a free agent and be able to bargain with their employer. And they imagine, I think often falsely, that they could do better than a labor union could for them.
You know, I agree with you, although I think there's an opening for that to change. I really do, because one of the effects behind the union's decline has been this anti-democratic perception of what unions are. It's that they're in these kind of smokehouses, smoke-filled rooms. These mega bosses are telling other people what to do, and then they pull out the whip and beat you into submission. And of course, that myth is slowly being destroyed, and there's a new emerging narrative that we got to talk about, which is that over the last 20 years, corporate power has gained tremendous power over the workplace. And there's been an imbalance. There has been no counterbalance to the rising power of the CEOs and in the boardroom. And it's largely been because of the decline of the unions. And now unions are really the only counterweight that can push back and once again clamor for the rights that workers deserve. And so I think that if we can start to tell that story a little bit more, I have a lot of hope that that we're going to turn this around.
Paul Krugman of the New York Times and econ professor at Princeton was on our show the other day. He's got a lengthy article in Rolling Stone about the growing wealth and income gap in this country. And it's an important companion piece, I think, to the arguments that you folks make in the Progress Report today. Give us a quick description of what a card check is and how changing those rules could help people organize.
Well, right now, you know, there's the secret ballot system under which employees can vote for a union, but it's a closed ballot system. So what the card check system would do is that it would open the system up, and it would allow workers to be freed from the harassment and intimidation that generally goes on around these unionization movements, and would allow them to basically establish a union as long as a majority of workers sign these written forms, these cards, which would authorize the representation to take place. And so that's what John Sweeney and the AFL-CIO and a whole host of other union organizations are now pushing for, which is this card check legislation to go through, which would allow workers to have this open system, a majority rule to establish unions.
And Faz, my dream scenario would be that we have federal preemption of the right-to-work laws in particularly southern states so that there's a level playing field for people who want to be in a union. Faz, thank you very much. Always a pleasure to talk with you, and we'll catch up with you next week. Faz Shakir from the Center for American Progress and the Daily Progress Report. The news dissector, Danny Schechter, next on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Hi, I'm Patty Ross, Realtor. What pops into your mind when you hear the word real estate? Security? Investment? White picket fences? Did you know that real estate is the single most sought-after asset on the planet? More people have accumulated wealth through real estate than by any other means. So whether you own property and want to cash in your equity or simply want to take advantage of buying in this changing market, you need a qualified agent who understands market conditions and will listen to your needs. From Santa Cruz to Salinas, from Carmel to Big Sur, call me, Patty Ross, for a free consultation. I'm hardworking, experienced, and I care about you. Hey, forget the rest, get the best. Call me, Patty Ross. My heart's in it.
Contact Patty Ross at Keller Williams Realty in Carmel at 622-6235. That's 622-6235, or visit her website, pattyrosscarmel.com.
Pacific Grove Liquors at 229 Grand Avenue is your one stop on the Monterey Peninsula for fine wines, liquors, and beers at very reasonable prices. Let PG Liquors knowledgeable owner J.R. Medina and his son-in-law Chad help you choose the ideal Monterey regional or imported wine for any occasion, from an intimate dinner with that special someone to a formal affair with dozens or even hundreds of guests. If you're looking for distilled spirits, PG Liquors specializes in the finest blue agave tequilas, single malt and blended scotches, and top-shelf vodkas, including Northern California's own Hangar One. Beer lovers from Carmel to Marina, beat the path to PG Liquors, which boasts hundreds of handcrafted ales, lagers, stouts, porters, as well as all the big names. Make Pacific Grove Liquors at 229 Grand, just above Lighthouse, the outlet for all of your beverage needs.
PG Liquors reminds you to always drink responsibly.
Attention all KRXA listeners. Are you worried about not having enough money for a truly comfortable retirement? Were you aware that you've had the ability to buy real estate within your individual retirement account without government penalty since 1974? Bet you didn't know that. Only 2% of the U.S. population is even aware of the law. If your IRA had been invested in California real estate 20 years ago, you'd be a multimillionaire today. The retirement specialist will show you how to purchase California property right inside your IRA. They've helped nearly 10,000 people in the last four decades achieve their retirement goals by rolling over their IRAs and 401ks into profitable California real estate. Give them a call at 831-794-8485 to learn more about this underutilized retirement investment. That's 831-794-8485. If you want to achieve financial independence by the time you retire, then call now. There's nothing to lose, only valuable knowledge to gain. Call 831-794-8485 and ask for the retirement specialist.
Deborah Lindsay with Tomorrow Matters on KRXA 540 AM, wishing you a safe holiday season and encouraging you to make earth-friendly choices for your celebrations. Join me each Sunday at 2 to match global problems of today with local solutions for a better tomorrow. Remember, the greatest gift we can give is a healthy planet. Tomorrow Matters, right here on KRXA 540 AM, every Sunday at 2.
Politicians may come and go, but for the past 33 years, Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey. Technically proficient, Dr. Turner specializes in listening to every patient's concerns and feelings. And because Dr. Turner cares about you, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112, 831-375-1112, 815 Cass Street in downtown Monterey. For all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner, 375-1112. He listens, he cares. Yeah, Rush. Rush doesn't own this song, you know. I'm taking it back. It's the Peter B. Collins Show, live from the Left Coast. I am your humble host, 33 minutes past the hour. And are you ready for an encounter with the news dissector?
The world in a minute.
The station carries no news of the world.
Corporate America owns all the networks.
Freedom of the press is only guaranteed when you own the press.
Communication breakdown. Pause for the message breakup. Every station is...
Danny Schechter is the news dissector, a veteran of rock radio in Boston, network television in New York, and a co-founder of MediaChannel.org. He blogs every day, and I read it every day. Danny, how are you?
Hey, it's been a long time, Peter. I'm glad to be with you.
Nice to talk with you again. And where do we find Danny Schechter today?
You find me at the seat of the scene of the great American crime, the mall. I'm in New Jersey on my way back to New York from Washington, and I'm trying to find a few minutes here to talk with you about, you know, about what I've been focusing on recently, which, of course, is debt, the incredible credit crunch that Americans are coping with, and particularly relevant now as the Secretary of the Treasury, Big Hank Paulson, is in China begging the Chinese to basically do what we want them to do, and they're saying, no way, Jose, or the equivalent in Chinese.
Now, so, Danny, it's perfect that you're at the mall. I hope you're not running up your credit card debt to make the holidays happy for a loved one.
No, I'm not. Well, the New York Times today reported that shopping went over the top in November. It's really a great sign. Everything is good. What they don't report is that when the bill comes in and people can't pay it, there's going to be a whole flurry of returns of all this, you know, merchandise. Every year on the day after Thanksgiving, you know, the TV trucks are at the mall. They're all saying, look how great it is, shopping. It's unstoppable. And then, lo and behold, you know, comes the time to pay, they then end up with a report saying, well, it was a disappointing year.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're in a consumption addicted society. It's deliberate. It's the strategy of how to keep our economy going, but it's having the effect of driving millions of people into debts that they can't sustain, and into bills they can't pay, into foreclosures of their homes, into bankruptcies of various kinds. College students leaving school with $20,000 or more in debt, forcing them to go take a lousy job to pay back the money. That's what's driving our economy. I've made this film about it called In Debt We Trust, America Before the Bubble Burst. We have a website, indebtwetrust.com, and I'm beginning to roll this film out now. We've gotten a fantastic response to it because everybody resonates with it. It's one of those issues. It's called a topper issue. I guess you know what I mean. You know, mm-hmm. Everybody says, well, you think that's bad? Here's what happened to my grandmother, my mother, my father, my brother, whatever. Everybody has a story about how they're getting deeper and deeper into the hole. And so Hank Paulson's former company, Goldman Sachs, just reported 93% return in the fourth quarter. The company is paying $16.8 billion in compensation to the investment bankers who are getting richer and richer. But the gap between the super rich, the middle class and working class, and of course the poor, is growing every single day, and it's getting worse and worse, just as our national debt is threatening to go to $10 trillion. Nobody seems to be talking about it. The politicians don't want to talk about it because they get money from the credit card companies. So,
and Danny, just the other day, Paul Krugman was on our show, New York Times columnist, and he offered this description of the growing wealth gap in this country. And he uses the visual metaphor of, you know, a human figure. And he said the average American, if you say, you know, is 5 feet tall, and that represents their annual income, the super rich are 550 feet tall. And,
right.
You know, that's...
The gap is ridiculous, and it's growing. The gap between CEO pay and your pay and my pay is growing dramatically. I mean, this is what's happening. There's been a transfer of wealth from the poor, from working class people, into the coffers of big banks and financial institutions, and nobody's saying anything about it. Regulation virtually doesn't exist anymore. And at the same time, you know, there's no campaign underway by the Congress. Now, Nancy Pelosi is saying she is going to try to do something about growing student loans. That's a start.
But what about the bankruptcy bill? They need to revisit the bankruptcy bill and amend it.
Of course they do. What I show in my film is how it was passed with bipartisan support.
Yeah.
You know, it wasn't just Republicans. It wasn't just the evil empire and the GOP. Democrats were going along. And, in fact, there's a book out about lobbying which explains that $154 million was spent by lobbyists to get this bill passed. It's a record. Okay, and so you can imagine how much money they make if they're willing to invest $154 million to get some a bill that's in their favor. And that's what we're dealing with here. That's why this issue has to be put on the agenda, and the left, the progressive movement, has to start talking about economic inequality and economic justice in our society. I mean, the mortgage bankers are saying, get this, in January, there's going to be what they call a reset. A reset means that adjustable rate mortgages will go up.
Mm-hmm.
They're talking about $10.5 trillion, okay, of reset, which means that mortgages will be unaffordable for many people who got in at a low cost, particularly if you had subprime loans or, you know, you got smaller percentages. Now your mortgage is going to double. And, you know, this is just squeezing people beyond the point of survival. And so, you know, in my film, I have an expert saying we're moving rapidly towards a culture of serfdom. You know, we're going back to the Middle Ages,
yeah,
where there's the big lords and there's the rest of us, you know, working, and we're tied to the loans and to the banks and the way they were tied to the land. And this is something that we need a wake-up call on, and we need to talk about. And unfortunately, you know, because of the war, because of the crimes of the Bush administration, because we're so angry, we're so upset, it's always easier to bash Bush and the ridiculous, you know, and criminal pursuit of the war and avoid what's happening right now. And many people don't want to talk about it because it's their own money. They feel like they were stupid, they got in over their head, it's their fault, et cetera, and so forth. And nobody's talking about it. And that's why I'm hoping we can get this film screened. I'd love to do a screening right out there with your radio show and give away tickets to listeners so we can find a venue and do an event, and let's get people's reaction to it. I think you'll find that, and I was just in Denver at the film festival there, people stayed an hour to discuss it. Everybody had stories to tell. It was amazing. And so I think this is something that we could actually get something going on if we make it an issue. In the same way that Lou Dobbs, you know, staked out some economic issues from a kind of economic nationalistic point of view, I think we could do it from a populist Paul Krugman, you know, in debt we trust point of view, and try to get response, because I'm sure that there will be.
Mm-hmm.
California housing market is crashing, okay, all around us. And this is something that's going to affect us all.
Well, you have a point. I would say, and I know a little bit about the California housing market, it's leveled off. It's not really crashing. But there will be heavy pressure as mortgage rates go up on people who have very little equity.
Yeah, the Washington Post is talking about a new group of people. Remember soccer moms during the Clinton years?
Yeah.
They're talking about mortgage moms.
Mm-hmm.
Women who are trying in the suburbs to manage their money, pay their bills, and finding it increasingly difficult to do so. And these mortgage moms are going to become a big political factor as they get angry and realize how they're being abused and used. So this is why this issue is, I think, cresting and will become a bigger one if we can make it a bigger one. And that's what I'm trying to do right now, working on right now. And,
mm-hmm.
and you know, the response has been good, but just we need some help to try to get this marketed and promoted, and we're trying to do that now.
All right, well, let's talk offline, and we'll see if we can put an event together on the West Coast. Danny,
okay,
I wanted to
be with you. Happy holidays and all of that, and I hope we'll talk soon, okay?
Okay, I wanted to talk just about one other item, if I can, before you go.
Yeah.
And that
yeah.
is, in your blog today, you talk about Dennis Kucinich announcing for president.
Right.
And I'm one of those people who was an early supporter of Dennis in 2004.
Right.
And I think that he brings, you know, a very strong message that Democrats
well,
need to
That's
hear.
Where I quoted his announcement
but
on MediaChannel.org in my News Dissector blog. It was eloquent. It was passionate, and he's learned a lot from campaigning before. He's willing to do it again. You know, he hasn't learned his lesson yet.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to go out there and fight for the people, and at least it'll influence the debates of all these other politicians, you know, who are trying to avoid taking any stance. And Dennis
right.
is there to try to keep them honest and to educate the rest of us. And, you know, I've known him since 1979. I had him on a TV show in Boston back then when he was the mayor of Cleveland, and he was fighting the electric companies then.
Mm-hmm.
He's sort of had a lifetime of commitment on all of these issues, and he's somebody that people should not ignore. Pay attention to Dennis Kucinich. The man has a lot to say. And he's honest. He's concerned about peace. He's concerned about, you know, the mess in Washington, the swamp there. And I think he's got something to offer America.
What's interesting, Danny, is last night on the Chris Matthews Hardball show, he did have Kucinich on, but he closeted him at the very end of the show and gave him only 5 minutes. And in the preceding...
Well, that's what they do. They marginalize, they demonize...
In the,
characterized.
Right, but in the preceding segment, he spent about 12 minutes shooting the breeze with two of his regular contributors and promoting the candidacy of Rudy Giuliani, who,
Which is disgusting, okay?
Yeah.
I mean, if anybody, there's a movie out called Giuliani Time. If you haven't seen it, see it, about Rudy, real story in New York. There's a new book called Rudy Giuliani and 9/11, which shows that he was not a hero of 9/11. In fact, he is criminally negligent in the deaths of people at the World Trade Center. Rudy Giuliani is a total fraud, in my opinion, and we need to expose him.
Mm-hmm.
And I hope we can.
Yeah.
Okay, Peter.
All right, Danny. I know you got to go.
Up and running.
Thank you very much. Good luck with your shopping spree there. That's Danny Schechter, the News Dissector, and at MediaChannel.org, you can sign up to receive his daily blog, The News Dissector. He does a great job. Brings a lot of interesting views and voices into the mix. Well, we're going to open up the phones here for the next segment. If you'd like to talk with us about anything that's on your mind, things that are in the news, give us a call now. Toll free, 888-5-PETER-B. Lines open at 888-573-8372. And as we return, I'll tell you about the regret of Donald Rumsfeld. That's next here on the Peter B. Collins Show. You're listening to KRXA 540. Do you have a living trust? Lawyers on Duty is offering a living trust package for just $995. If you're single, only $895. Give your loved ones the safety net by saving them thousands of dollars by avoiding cumbersome legal proceedings. At Lawyers on Duty, they're available and affordable. With over 1,000 living trusts completed locally, they'll work with you to avoid costly probate. Behind Rosine's on Alvarado Street, downtown Monterey. Lawyers on Duty, 375-5100. Alan Kaplan, owner.
This is Laura Pruneta of Pruneta Real Estate Advisors. As your licensed real estate broker, our mission at Pruneta Real Estate Advisors is excellence and contribution, and our only concern is to promote and protect your interests. Quite simply, if the best result for you means no deal for us, we will immediately tell you. Selling but concerned about tax consequences? As a CPA, I can advise you of the implications of any capital gain. Seeking income-producing property? With a Stanford engineering degree, I have developed cash flow analysis to evaluate various opportunities. If you're buying a home, my promise is to help you find your dream house under the most favorable terms. We at Pruneta Real Estate Advisors are dedicated to our community. We will contribute $250 out of every local transaction to the school of your choice. I am Laura Pruneta of Pruneta Real Estate Advisors. Call me at 753-5310. That's 753-5310. Stop by 1271 North Davis Road in Salinas, across from Applebee's, or browse to prunetarealestate.com.
Doing business in Santa Cruz County since 1950, Wilson's Tire and Service now has three locations to serve you better wherever you live. All three locations feature full service, friendly, fast, same-day service, or, in the words of hands-on owner Juan Escamilla,
we're fast and fair, and service is job one at Wilson's Tire and Service.
specializing in tire, brake, and alignment services with state-of-the-art equipment. Looking for friendly, fast, same-day service from experienced pros? Come to Wilson's Tire and Service. Now located in Santa Cruz at 1807 Soquel Avenue across from Walgreens, in Soquel Village at Old San Jose Road and Soquel Drive, and now in Aptos Village across the entrance to Nicene Mark State Park. Questions? Call 476-0370. That's 476-0370. Say hello to Juan and get the Wilson's Tire and Service full service.
Hi, this is Stephanie Miller. You know how much I love the Monterey Peninsula. You've got it all. Mountains, the sea, some of the best box wine I've ever had. You also have a great radio station, KRXA, your progressive prescription. So join me, voice guy extraordinaire Jim Ward, and producer Chris Lavoie as we take back America every weekday morning, 6 to 9 a.m., right here on AM 540.
Collins Show. Donald Rumsfeld. Any regrets?
There's this great Popeye cartoon where he gets inside a Bluto shirt and he's popping out of his sleeves going, here I am, over here, you. And Bluto is confused. He's going,
hey, where'd you, why you,
And he's trying to beat up Popeye and he ends up pummeling himself. That is the war on terror. That is the war on terror. It's the war on terror. There's this old...
Don Rumsfeld was asked by a friendly voice, conservative commentator Cal Thomas, hey, Rummy, would you have done anything differently during your stormy six-year tenure as Bush's defense chief? And unlike the decider-in-chief, Rumsfeld actually had an answer.
I dropped my keys about six blocks away. Why aren't you looking over there? The guy says the light's better over here. And that is the war on terror. That is the war on terror.
Don Rumsfeld replied, I guess I don't think I would have called it the war on terror. You know, the word war conjures up World War II more than it does the Cold War. It creates a level of expectation of victory and an ending within the 30 or 60 minutes of a soap opera. And that isn't going to happen. Furthermore, it's not a war on terror. Terror is a weapon of choice for extremists who are trying to destabilize regimes and impose their, he interrupted himself, in the hands of a small group of clerics, their dark vision on all the people that they control. So war on terror has a problem for me. And I've worked to try to reduce the extent to which that's used and increase the extent to which we understand it more as a long war or struggle or a conflict, not against terrorism, but against a relatively small number but terribly dangerous and lethal violent extremists. Thank you, Rummy. I have been bristling over this term, especially when Democrats use it. The war on terror, the global war on terror, it doesn't mean a damn thing. If you want to say the war on Al-Qaeda, the war on our enemies, those are legitimate descriptors. I finally found a point of agreement with Donald Rumsfeld. It only took 6 years. Hal in Coos Bay, welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show.
Hi, Peter. How you doing?
Doing all right today. You?
Well, you know, you might have a bit of a segue for me because... Basically, I was calling about are we still going to hold criminals accountable? You mentioned in the first part of the last half hour that Roe is probably going to skate on his criminal conviction, and we're wondering if he's ever going to wear a prison uniform. And then, you know, and I don't want to go too far down the list, but kind of like what you were just talking about, maybe we should call it a war on crime. And get back to the ones that are really creating these crimes against humanity, you know?
Well, first of all, when they originally started talking about the war on terror, we had attacked Afghanistan. And there at least was a nexus between those who attacked us and who continued to wish us ill and what we did about it. Then they try to use the same language to cover for the elective adventure in Iraq. And Bush had his way rhetorically with the American people for a good 2.5 years before people started to parse it and say, oh, Iraq? Well, you know, what does Iraq have to do with Al-Qaeda? What does invading Iraq have to do with making America safer? What does it have to do with retaliating for the 9/11 attacks? Well, nothing. And once people realized that, then they started to realize what an empty vessel Bush is and how dishonest most of his language is.
And speaking of that, I also think that there's probably, I always often wonder who is the rhetorical genius behind Bush's campaigns, you know, if it isn't Karl Rove and or Cheney and or that lady that used to be his, you know, the one that invented the compassionate conservative. I know we talked about this a few weeks ago, but, you know, that was the first obvious sign of rhetorical nonsense that mm-hmm. came out of the whole thing.
You're talking about Peggy Noonan, the Bush 1 speechwriter?
I guess, yeah. You know,
or maybe
compassionate conservatism. You had that guest on that was, you know, we were talking about that a few weeks ago, I think, mm-hmm. a month ago, and I still, I mean, that's been a, you know, to me, for them to take compassion from the left, you know, and put it on the right, has always been a thorn in my side anyway. Mm-hmm. But you know, I mean, what is compassion? Compassion is, you know, still having compassionate doctors and nurses to deal with the abortion issue rather than making everything illegal to where, you know, to me it's like a passionate issue, not a compassionate issue, you know.
I hear that.
Mm-hmm. You know, and I think it's, you know, it flies in the face of everything. But what I called about was I was really wondering if the Democrats are going to get sidetracked into all of politics or if they are going to hold the criminals accountable. If they're going to get into, like, I know that you said this, like, when they let this guy in to replace themselves, Gates.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I know how mad you are about that. I was too. I looked up that information even before you were talking about it on the internet. About what you know, his part in the Iran-Contra affair, and I think a lot of people are on the wrong side of that whole issue back then in the 80s. You know, when Reagan, Ortega, the head, you know, the guy that was just re-elected president in Nicaragua, Daniel Ortega. Yeah, you know, we're always on the wrong side of these things. You know, sometimes the left has some good, you know, human qualities to them, compassionate, you know, they're like Allende, and mm-hmm. we were talking to about Allende the other day.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Same thing. He was elected by the people of Chile, you know, for us to go down there and meddle in it just because he's nationalizing and getting away from our commercial interest in South America. You know, we need these changes, and I'm still glad to see them coming. I'm glad to see the new president of Chile. I'm glad to see that Ortega's back in. I'm really mad. What I'm mad about is what happened in Mexico.
Yeah. Well, there's good reason for that. Hal, thanks for your call today.
Okay.
Always nice to hear from you in Coos Bay, listening to KBBR, Talk Radio 1340. A couple of items here that have just come across my desk. There's a judge named James Robertson, federal judge in Washington, and today he issued the second of two decisions regarding the fate of detainees at Guantanamo Bay. Yesterday, he acknowledged that the chicanery of the Bush administration and the Military Commissions Act, which I call the Joe Stalin Torture Detention and Kangaroo Court Act of 2006, does strip non-citizens and non-residents of the United States of habeas corpus rights if they are in the lockup at Guantanamo Bay or elsewhere. But today, in a split decision, the same judge ruled that the law's denial of that right, the habeas corpus right, to more than 12 million legal immigrants living in the United States is unconstitutional. The first part of the ruling affirmed what Congress intended with the MCA, and the second part is certainly not welcome at the White House. So it's interesting to see this does, I think, lay the groundwork for ultimately these issues to be decided by the Supreme Court. And this ruling, I think, fast-tracks it, or at least it's a faster track than I had expected. Also, lawyers representing Jose Padilla, who says Padilla, not Padilla, have asked a federal judge to determine his competency to stand trial. They say his experience as a detainee has been so traumatic, and it's physically and mentally painful for him to answer the questions that we put to him. That's what the public defender Orlando DeCampo said in Miami. He just shuts down. We're covering a lot of the same area as his interrogators, and he doesn't want to relive it. And it appears that the extraordinary methods used to interrogate this man have left him shocked and almost incompetent, or perhaps legally incompetent. And it'll be very interesting to see how that plays out. That's our torture update for today. Coming up next, Scott Dick will join us. He's our contributor on military and veterans issues. You're welcome to join the conversation at 888-5-PETER-B. You're listening to the Peter B. Collins Show, produced in San Francisco by Matt Renner. Our website is peterbcollins.com.
The healthcare system is broken. That doesn't mean you have to be. Capitola Physical Therapy helps you return to the level of function you need with skilled personal attention. Whether it's golf, tennis, walking, or simply getting out of bed and maintaining your balance, Capitola Physical Therapy understands, cares, and knows how to help. Call Capitola Physical Therapy at 475-1200. That's 475-1200.
Tired of stale syndicated right-wing blowhards?
And we are thrilled and honored to have with us Donald Rumsfeld.
You got a bunch of dopey kids watching each show. Oh, Riley!
Here on KRXA 540, you can hear a fresh local liberal blowhard.
And another thing, Coach, you could strip me naked, stake me to an anthill, pour honey all over me, and I still wouldn't vote for a Republican.
Hal on the show every morning from 9 to 10, only on KRXA 540. Down in
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Important health news for women.
Breast cancer more rare because of stopping hormones? I'm Dan Ravine.
An education commission calls for radical changes in American schools. I'm Howard Arenstein in Washington.
This is the CBS World News Roundup Late Edition. I'm Bill Whitney. The numbers tell the story. A year after a major study warned against treating menopause with hormones, the incidence of breast cancer fell dramatically. CBS News correspondent Dan Revive has the story.
Researchers at the University of Texas take numbers from the National Cancer Institute and believe they can explain a 7% fall in the number of new breast cancer cases, falling below 190,000 in the year 2003. That's when millions of women stopped HRT, hormone replacement therapy, because of cancer warnings. A cancer specialist in New York, Dr. Larry Norton, finds that convincing.
The changes were in the type of breast cancer that we know is associated with hormone activity.
In that estrogen-related breast cancer among older women, a 12% reduction in new cases. Dan Revive, CBS News.
Now this.
Tiger Balm presents football superstar Jerry Rice.
Foxtrot. I can't believe I'm dancing with Jerry Rice.
I can't believe dancing is as hard as playing wide receiver.
Tango.
I'm sorry.
You okay?
Yeah, how do you manage all the aches and pain?
Tiger Balm.
Really?
Tiger Balm works fast and lasts a long time.
Samba.
Whoa. Oh, sorry, I'm such a klutz.
Maybe we should stop.
No, just get me some Tiger Balm.
You sure?
Just get me the Tiger Balm.
If you suffer from aches and pains, go for the Balm. Tiger Balm. Now in a convenient, easy-to-apply patch. At drugstores, mass discount stores, supermarkets, and health food stores everywhere.
Welcome back to Sports Beat with me, Dan Stevens, and we've got Nancy on a car phone.
Dan, I just missed a turn. Now, should I take a right or a left here?
You know this is Sports Beat, don't you?
To easily get back on track when you miss a turn, you want to ask TomTom, not Dan.
Turn left.
TomTom Go is your portable, everyday GPS solution. Grab it and go. Just tap the screen and a helpful voice guides you where you're going.
You have reached your destination.
TomTom Go. Find your way the easy way. Learn more at TomTom.com.
Anyone who's been through high school knows the hard work has been done by senior year, so do away with it. And junior year, too, says a group of educators and business leaders calling for a major overhaul of the way we teach our children.
The Commission on the Skills of the American Workforce says a revolution is needed in American education to compete with graduates from other countries.
China, from India, from England, Germany. That's where our competition are.
Charles Reed, Chancellor of California's university system, says the report calls for radical changes.
Kids today, if you set the expectations, they can accomplish it. So many kids get bored with school and just drop out.
One solution, eliminate 11th and 12th grades and use the time to get kids ready for college or give them real job training. Howard Ehrenstein, CBS News, Washington.
Senator Tim Johnson remains in critical condition after last night's emergency surgery to stop the bleeding in his brain, but the outlook is cautiously optimistic. A statement from the U.S. Capitol's attending physician says Johnson continues to have an uncomplicated post-operative course. He responds to voices and touch, and he's needed no further surgery. Incoming Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid visited Johnson again this morning, but refused to give reporters any details.
Whatever I say about his medical condition would not be enough for you, so I'm not going to talk about his medical condition. I saw him. He looked great to me. He looked very good.
Reid says he's confident Johnson will make a full recovery, and politically, there isn't a thing that's changed. If Johnson had to be replaced by South Dakota's Republican governor, it would cause the Democrats to lose their slim majority. Music mogul Ahmet Ertegun, the founder of Atlantic Records, died today. He was 83. It was Ertegun's label that gave us the Rolling Stones, Aretha Franklin, and Ray Charles. Ahmet Ertegun was the son of a Turkish ambassador who developed a fascination for American music. He was part of the scene right till the end. He suffered a fall at a Stones concert in New York and slipped into a coma. Two astronauts from Shuttle Discovery are doing another spacewalk. Let's get a live update from CBS News correspondent Peter King.
Well, Bill, NASA has called this one of the most critical and complex spacewalks ever. They shut down half the International Space Station's electrical systems as two astronauts connected a new power path when they turned the switches back on.
Discovery and Alpha with good news from Houston.
We're ready for the good news.
It's not good news. It's great news.
Everything came back up without a hitch. A similar spacewalk is planned for Saturday, and CBS News has learned that an extra spacewalk to fix a broken solar wing may not happen. NASA may just wait for the next shuttle flight to train a crew specifically for the job. Live at the Kennedy Space Center, Peter King, CBS News.
You're listening to the CBS World News Roundup.
Life may never be clean, but with Hoover, your floors can be. Hoover Floormate cleans all your hard floors. Hoover Wind Tunnel 2 Upright vacuums your carpets. Buy them together and get up to a $100 mail-in rebate. So use Hoover and keep it clean. Offer varies. See Hoover.com and participating dealers for details. Expires 1-7-07.
Tax-saving tip for business owners. Consult your tax advisor to learn if your company can get a tax break when you buy an HP LaserJet printer before December 31st. It's a good time to upgrade your LaserJet printers to increase office productivity. The new LaserJets are up to twice as fast as they were 3 years ago and let you start printing almost instantly. So there's less waiting around. Black and white HP LaserJets start at $129. HP LaserJet printers, the reliable workhorse printers for business.
Estimate U.S. retail price. Actual prices may...
We continue into another hour of the Peter B. Collins Show, live from the Left Coast. We're going to talk military and veterans issues with our contributor, Scott Dick. He served in the Marines, retired from the Army as a major. And if you have a comment or a question, you can join us toll-free at 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. Our music of the moment from Steve Winwood. It's called Time Is Running Out. And W trying to buy more time says, well, it's a tough decision. I don't want to be rushed into it. And the speech he was going to give us before Christmas has been postponed until after New Year's. Scott Dick, welcome back to our program today. How you doing?
I'm doing great, Peter.
What do you think about this this effort by the president? He's got all this information. He's been on a listening tour. It appears that he's consulted with everybody who he could consult with, absent maybe Bob Gates, who went to Baghdad and may have some fresh ideas on the way forward when he gets back. But isn't this a silly process we're seeing, and isn't the Baker Commission report just a week later already receding into nothing?
Do
You mean the bulldozers? That beep, beep, beep you hear in the background, Peter, as the bulldozers burying that thing in the deep, deep hole?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a ridiculous. The president is the decider, and I can't believe that it's taken this much time. I think he's trying to craft a document that's going to rival the group's results. I think that's what he's trying to do. And, you know, sometimes I've turned documents in, and I'll just imagine holding one hand, palm up, and the other hand, palm down on top of the document, and then waving and saying, this just isn't thick enough.
Yeah. Well, let's listen to a clip here. The president went to the Pentagon to meet one more time with Don Rumsfeld and with a gaggle of generals who stood behind him and avoided wincing for the most part as he stumbled through this. And it is amazing that the president has given so many press conferences and other availabilities recently, because if I were his handler, I'd say, you know, it'd really be better, Mr. President, if you just kept quiet. At any rate, let's listen to one of the first questions that came up at this event yesterday.
Having advice, as you said, from leaders here and from leaders in Iraq, as you've gone through that extensive process, have you heard any new ideas at all, anything that would change your thinking?
I've heard some ideas that would lead to defeat, and I reject those ideas. Ideas such as leaving before the job is done. Ideas such as not helping this government take the necessary and hard steps.
I haven't heard that idea proposed.
I've heard interesting ideas. I won't share them with you because I want to make sure I continue to collect those ideas and put them together in a strategy that our military and the commanders and a national security team understands. Will lead to an Iraq that can govern and sustain and defend itself. I put off my speech. Actually, I was quite flexible about when I was going to give my speech to begin with. But and one of the main reasons why is I really do want the new Secretary of Defense to have time to get to know people and hear people and be a part of this deliberation. And he will not be sworn in until next Monday. I also, one of the interesting things about this experience is that there's a lot of ideas and a lot of opinions. And I want to make sure I hear from as many of those ideas and opinions as possible. Today I heard from some opinions that matter a lot to me. And these are the opinions of those who wear the uniform. These generals have spent a lot of time thinking about this issue. There's nobody who cares more about our troops than they do. And nobody who wants us to achieve more than to achieve our objectives than they do. And it was a fascinating discussion we had. They are smart people and capable people and people whose judgment I listen to. And at the appropriate time, I will stand up in front of the nation and say, here's where we're headed. But one thing people got to understand is we'll be headed toward achieving our objectives. And I repeat, if we lose our nerve, if we're not steadfast in our determination to help the Iraqi government succeed, we will be handing Iraq over to an enemy that would do us harm. The consequences of which, of leaving Iraq was
so many changes. Tears you must hide. Did you ever have to finally decide?
Yeah, he's our decider. But, Scott Dick, this is a public spectacle of a befuddled man who appears to be indecisive in the face of a dangerous situation that gets worse by the hour, and he seems oblivious to the very fact that people are dying while he is trying to be the decider.
Well, Peter, I have to laugh because this is the first time he's actually had to listen to anybody, and he's going to put together the ideas into a strategy that the Joint Chiefs can understand. That was marvelous to hear him say that, because his ideas are so lofty and so highbrow that if he just told them to him right now, they wouldn't get it.
Right. Well, you remember the lament of Rumsfeld when he was sacked and gave a speech. praising the president, and he and the president are the only two who really understand all of this.
And he said it's fascinating, this whole process he's going through, there's lots of ideas and opinions out there. I marvel at this. This is humorous. If it wasn't the president, we didn't have troops in harm's way.
Yeah, yeah. It is quite breathtaking. And for him to do this so publicly, I have concerns about. I'd rather that we keep our indecision and the ugly part of this process under wraps as much as possible.
And, you know, talking in cliches, lose our nerve and steadfast in our determination. It's just on nonsensical cliches that you know, the right-wing nuts in our media, they'll repeat that 100 times and play it 100 times and print it 100 times. But it's not going to change the fact that I'm just blown away, and I don't know why I am, Peter, that he has heard ideas that are interesting.
Well, and what he said at first was that he'd heard ideas that he's rejected. And that doesn't suggest that he's open-minded and really following through on this process. And, you know, his bluster over the past week clearly indicates that if somebody read the Baker Commission report to him, he has dismissed it out of hand. Because even if you don't take their 79 recommendations, Scott, the assessment that they offer of the bleak situation in Iraq is something that doesn't appear to have really sunk in on this president.
No, and just by spouting off the, once again, another cliche, we can't leave before the job is done. That's one of those ideas they rejected. Leaving before, that is an open-end commitment to whatever the job is this week. You know, in Afghanistan, the job has changed 9 different times. And it's the mission to capture, kill Osama bin Laden, dead or alive, still hasn't been accomplished yet.
Mm-hmm.
So now, what's the job in Iraq? Now it looks like Casey's coming up with a plan to turn our soldiers into cops. They're not police. That's why the military has military police, military occupational specialties in all 4 branches of service, because combat troops are not trained or paid to be policemen. So it's just going to be folly. Now, in his defense, and I don't normally defend him, Gates is going to be sworn in on Monday.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, he does, it's going to take, first of all, he does need some time to get his feet on the ground. He's not wearing boots. I won't say boots on the ground. So, you know, when Rumsfeld sits down, Gates then can stand up.
I didn't see that coming.
Now, it's going to take months for the higher echelons of the Pentagon to be de-rumified. And he's really not going to be able to have any kind of effect as long as our generals and admirals are so cowed as they are right now. It's going to take some while for them to be decowed and to really trust Gates that he's not going to just lop them off at the knees at the first sign of any kind of dissent or anything else.
Well, and we're going to take a break now. When we come back, let's talk about the change of the guard in Iraq, particularly at the senior levels, and how Gates might choose the new leadership and how that in turn could affect future developments. If you'd like to talk with Scott Dick, he's with us this entire hour, and you can join this conversation toll-free at 888-5-PETER-B. That's 888-573-8372. You don't have a telephone? Well, drop me an email, peter@peterbcollins.com. I'd love to hear from you. You're listening to the Peter B. Collins Show.
You're listening to the new KRXA 540.
United States, you have many rights. You have the right to assemble. You have the right to free speech. You have the right to worship as you choose. And when you disagree with Billy Sunshine, you have the right to be wrong.
The Billy Sunshine Show, right here on KRXA 540 AM. Tune in Sundays 3 to 5.
I'm Pam.
And I'm Nancy.
And we're from the Potting Shed.
In Aptos. We're located at 5752 Freedom Boulevard.
About 2 miles east of Highway 1, heading towards Watsonville. You have to look for us. We're in an old barn, but if you look for our mailbox, it's painted bright yellow and it's shaped like an old barn, so it makes it a little bit easier to find.
The barn has a lot of charm. People tend to come there just because the atmosphere is really nice.
And they'll come and have a cup of tea, bring their dog if they have one. All the dogs who visit know exactly where the cookie jar is. So it's that kind of a place. People feel very comfortable.
When we started, we were just strictly a garden shop with pots and plants. But we had to evolve through the years because nobody needed pots and plants in the middle of winter. So we started adding things, and now it's a full-fledged gift shop.
We work very hard to try and find things that are unusual and eclectic and well-priced. That's what our customers want. We're open from 10 to 5, Wednesday through Sunday. Come by and have a cup of tea. The Potting Shed.
Every Sunday morning at 10, listen to Rock Roller Real Estate. The number one Sunday morning Bay Area real estate show is now on KRXA 540. If you want to learn about investing, 1031 exchanges, buying and selling high-end homes, and where the hottest real estate markets are, this is the show for you. Rock Roller Real Estate, the Bay Area's number one Sunday morning real estate show, now covering the Central Coast. For more information on how to become a guest, call 408-892-3376. Rock Roller Real Estate.
The days of wine and roses.
The fastest growing disease in America is addiction. It's time we talk about it openly. This is Sheila Gale. Join me Saturday afternoons from 4 to 5 for 12-Step Talk Uncensored, where we deal with addiction. It's about time.
That wasn't there before.
Good afternoon. Just a couple of things to tell you about this first time around. We do have an accident in Santa Cruz. It's Bromer Street at 17th Avenue. This is reported as a non-injury accident, so CHP and Ruth check out exactly how many vehicles involved and if it's blocking the roadway at all. Also keep your eyes open for a couple animals running around in the roadway. Eastbound 68 at River Road. Checking Highway 17 both directions through Santa Cruz Mountain, stalling accident-free. You're going to see a little bit of sluggish traffic southbound Highway 1, so it's between Monterey and Carmel, and eastbound Highway 25, you're going to see brake lights out of Gilroy and into Hollister. Also, a little sluggish eastbound 129 between Watsonville and Aromas. This report brought to you by Open from American Express. Open, how American Express serves small businesses. To learn more, visit open.com or call 1-800-NOW-OPEN. I'm Diane with traffic on KRXA 540.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show with Scott Dick, our contributor on military and veterans issues. If you'd like to chime in, we'd love to hear from you. Scott's on with us this entire hour. And we'll go to the calls here in just a second. Lines open at 888-5-PETER-B. 888-573-8372. Just got an email from Liz at Code Pink Phoenix. And their protest at the office of Senator McCain this morning, she said, went very well. Exceptional coverage. And even a live news TV crew there on the scene. Good on you. Thanks for sending that important message. Let's go to the calls here. And, I got to pull up this other screen. We've got Deborah in Phoenix. Hello, Deborah. You're on the Peter B. Collins Show with my friend Scott Dick.
Okay. Hi, Peter B.
Hello.
You know, what's the latest? Has Bush said, given any more specifics as to how do we know we're winning? You know, other than maybe how many police are trained, have you heard any other specifics?
Well, there's been nothing specific from the president. He first diverted everybody's attention to the Baker Commission report and declined to comment on most things until it was issued. And now that it's been issued, he's busy talking to other groups of people, State Department, Pentagon, and a few other advisors. And he hasn't said anything. Explicit.
What, if you were president, if you were in this situation, how would you define that? What do you think? I mean, maybe go 6 months without a politician being killed, maybe something to do with the reconstruction where they built something and it hasn't been blown up for a period of time. I mean,
You're asking the wrong guy simply because I don't think that victory was ever possible in Iraq unless it was so narrowly defined as toppling the government of Saddam Hussein. We were victorious in that.
Right.
The big mistake was that we took on this occupation, and instead of letting the State Department under Colin Powell run it, Rumsfeld took control at the Pentagon, and it has been one blunder after another. And
right.
I believe that there is no definition of victory that is currently achievable. That's my opinion. Scott?
Yeah, I can't even think of anything.
I want to answer a question. In any kind of business or in any kind of objective, there's some kind of metrics. But you have to use some kind of metrics. And what's happened, because there is no mission, there's no specific job that he keeps talking about. So mm-hmm. what we've devolved to is body counts.
Uh-huh.
And now that's not a good number to play, although you're starting to see that more and more in Afghanistan. They just reported that 21,000 Afghani insurgents have been killed in the last year or some crazy thing like that. Uh-huh. So whenever you start seeing a government talk about the we've killed more than them, of them than they've killed of us,
right.
that is all that you need to know, that they don't have a strategy
that they're grasping
that's
at straws.
Executable, uh-huh. that you can turn into a military plan. It's political right. and all, you know, Clausewitz said all war is politics, but you got to have a plan that you can have your military guys execute.
And here was the president surrounded by generals at the Pentagon yesterday. The clear message from the Baker Report and almost every other source, including the generals on the ground in Iraq, is that this war is not winnable militarily.
But Peter,
it requires... go ahead.
All that was another military photo op, except now instead of being with the troops, he's with the brass,
right?
And
yeah.
so it doesn't. It's just more meaningless nonsense. When he stands up, there's Rumsfeld. He's got all those guys cowed on one side. You got the new guy Gates coming in, and Bush, and they're all standing behind the president like they.
Right.
He really has the respect. They are prohibited by the Uniform Code of Military Justice of saying what they really think about the president while they're still in uniform. They have to wait to retire. So if that gives you an indication of what... This is unprecedented, Peter, that many retired generals would pipe up and say, hey, this is BS. This is wrong. It's broken.
Yeah. Well, I agree. You're right. Deborah, anything else?
No, just checking to hear if you heard something that I missed.
Thanks for your call today.
Okay.
Ted in Phoenix, you're next on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Good evening, gentlemen. How are you guys tonight?
Doing all right.
Feeling great.
Just to let you know, Scott's absolutely right. When I was in Vietnam in the 67, 66, 68 period, we went to body counts. And that was how we were winning the war. We were killing 10 times more of them than they were killing us. But the point I wanted to make, during that same period of time, the Arvin soldiers stepped back and we trained them for 2 years. That was the Vietnamization project. And that's what's going to go on here. And we still failed. I mean, they weren't ready for it. And it still failed. And Scott's absolutely right. You can't win it now militarily.
And Ted, what happened
in
March, April of 1975?
Yeah, we left.
Well, actually, those conventional forces that we trained, they had the best, most modern equipment that we could field.
Absolutely. We gave them all our equipment.
And the North Vietnamese kicked their butts. I mean, rolled
one,
up like a sack of potatoes.
Absolutely. But to answer your first question, when you were talking about earlier today about the decider can't decide,
mm-hmm.
he's on this listening tour. I had a boss once who always had to do things his way. So he always had the answer, which was his answer, his way. So what he used to do, the same thing, he used to go around trying to find the right questions so he could sell it to the company. And... unbelievable. It was just like what I'm seeing here. All bright ideas were stifled because he had to do it his way, which was 100% turnover within 3 years. So I think you're going to see that now as our president starts looking for the right questions.
Yeah, he said it yesterday in the briefing, in that clip that Peter played. He said, people that I listen to. That doesn't mean the Iraqi expert, like I'm personally familiar with an Iranian-Iraqi expert, and he speaks the languages, and he warned them. He made Lynn Cheney's list of insufficiently patriotic Americans. He's nowhere. He's not being asked. You know, Bush is asking people that he...
the wrong questions.
Right.
He's going to get the wrong questions from him or the wrong answers. So I'm afraid I feel sometimes we're doomed. and I'm laughing about it.
Yeah, well, that's the part I don't get, Ted.
Thank you. You guys do a great job. Thanks a lot.
All right. It's just the laughter part, Scott, that scares me.
Well, people get, you know, they're too old to cry. It's you see that there's some irony in all of this. Speaking in cliches and saying right there, there's people I listen to and there's people I don't listen to. There are lots of ideas and opinions, and I'm just amazed, Peter, that he's surprised. There's so many ideas and opinions out there.
Yeah, and they all can help with the way forward, whatever that means.
As long as we don't leave before the job is done.
Yeah. We're going to take a break and return with Scott Dick in the next segment. We'll talk about his views on how Gates may deal with the changing of the guard, the upper echelon management team, the generals. And if you have a question or comment, there's room for you to join us right now. Toll free at 888-5-PETER-B. 888-573-8372 puts you through to the Peter B. Collins Show.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Aloha, I'm Jay.
And I'm Ginger.
And we would like to invite you to our family restaurant at Pizza Paradise, serving the biggest, best, and boldest pizzas from our Marina location at 215 Reservation Road. It's in the Marina Village Shopping Center across from Wells Fargo Bank. Try one of our specialty pizzas like the Ginger's Island Paradise, or for the meat lovers, a Meet Me in Paradise. We're open Tuesday through Sunday and offer a banquet room for up to 80 people. We deliver to Marina and CSUMB.
Call 582-9149.
It's a Pizza Paradise.
That's 582-9149.
Have you thought about owning more real estate but don't know where to turn? Are you interested in learning how to make good profit buying and selling real estate? Or do you want to learn how to let your tenants pay the mortgage while you enjoy the equity? If you want to learn the ins and outs of real estate investing, listen to The Real Estate Guys, Sunday nights at 5 on KRXA. You can own more real estate. The Real Estate Guys will show you how. Listen Sunday nights at 5 and on the web at realestateguysradio.com.
Who's in control? This is Dave Ross on the CBS Radio Network. Democratic Senator Tim Johnson is recovering from brain surgery, and besides family members, one of his most attended visitors was Senator Harry Reid. The Democrat in line to become majority leader, provided Senator Johnson's well enough to vote for him in 3 weeks. The news anchors did their best not to appear callous in reporting the politics of this, but in Washington, when party control is at stake, sympathy beads up and rolls off, especially when control of Congress could well determine what we do next in Iraq. It reminds us once again that despite humankind's best efforts to control events, control is an illusion. Indeed, as Senator Johnson was fighting to hang on, there was the president at the Pentagon still looking for a way to win, to be in control of events in Iraq, and hearing instead the generals tell him that we are not in control of events in Iraq. According to the Washington Post, the subtext of yesterday's meeting was, quote, the growing concern of the Joint Chiefs about the erosion of the U.S. military's ability to deal with other crises around the world, unquote. In other words, for all our military power, our attempt to control 20,000 insurgents in Iraq threatens to make us less able to control events elsewhere. Who thought that one man's decision in the Oval Office 4 years ago to say do it instead of don't do it could have led here? And who thought that how we deal with the consequences of that decision might, in the end, have been determined 59 years ago when a boy who would run for the Senate was born with congenital arteriovenous malformation?
Get the good stuff!
Pick up a truckload of fun this holiday season with the new Napa No. 55 Race Car Transporter Toy Truck. It's over 25 inches long with an authentic 2007 Napa paint scheme. Made for ages 4 and up, this limited edition truck features stamped steel and ABS plastic construction with full cab interior, working lights, rear trailer doors, and engine horn and air brake sounds. Get it for just $29.99 only at Napa. Napa, get the good stuff.
Get the good stuff!
This is Dave Ross on the CBS Radio.
Salt means that our investigation turned up nothing.
If somebody testifies lying before a grand jury, doesn't mean he's involved.
It is flat out absurd. Bush was begging that governor on the Sunday before the hurricane hit to get people out of there and declare an emergency.
It's all crazy propaganda. The Joseph Goebbels Network.
Bush was on the phone with her. They were thinking about sending the military in because the state and local people weren't acting fast enough.
It is certain that some self-possessed judge somewhere will soon rule that three men are three women for you.
Yet Iraqis are united in a broad and deep conviction. 12 government ministries are currently under the direct control of Iraqis. I don't think that's too high a standard.
If you've retired, you don't have anything to worry about. Probably say it 3 more times. See, in my line of work, you've got to keep repeating things over and over and over again for the truth to sink in. Got to catapult the propaganda.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show, 33 minutes after the hour. Lines open if you'd like to talk military, veterans issues with our contributor Scott Dick. Toll free at 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. Thanks, Kenny. That's, of course, the Top Gun theme song, and our mission was accomplished in May of 2003, and we just can't figure out how it went sideways from there. Scott, we're joined by our pal Billy Sunshine, and we should tell our listeners outside the Monterey area that Scott holds down Saturday afternoon on KRXA, and Billy holds down Sunday afternoon on KRXA. Hey, Billy.
Hey, guys. I have a question for Scott.
All right.
So I think that what we need to do is the shock and awe pullout. In other words, you don't announce it. You just do it. You do it quickly as you possibly can do it. How about that?
Well, that grand sonic boom you hear are the Sunnis and Shias coming together in not mutual harmony. I mean, the power vacuum would be have to be filled by somebody, and it wouldn't be filled by the current government.
What's better about letting them sort of like slowly but surely plan to do it, kill each other slowly but surely, and then just put it off? I think we're still killing Americans for no better outcome. I don't really see why it's going to be different 4 months, 6 months, 4 days, 4 years from now.
Well, I share that viewpoint, and I would offer that we will never be able to predict what will occur when America pulls out. And my argument is that we are going to pull out, and everybody knows it. It's just a matter of when. And if we prolong that, we simply kill more Americans and preside over
Thank
the
you.
Deaths of more Iraqis.
So the problem is, Peter,
you say it better, Peter.
Scott, go ahead.
The problem is, Peter, that we're going to begin to start talking about national honor. And whenever a country starts talking about preserving national honor, we are in very, very deep trouble.
I'm not willing to pay with kids' lives for my national honor. I can take a little hit in my honor. I'm man enough.
Exactly. But there's people in Washington, D.C. that aren't man enough. And so there's no way this precipitous move out, which is, you know, anytime that an army does a retrograde movement, it's the most dangerous time for that army.
Mm-hmm.
And I would not want to be the last 1,500 troops in Iraq at the end. But there is no solution to this right now, it seems to be overwhelming force.
That requires such a turnaround.
And we've got the Badr Brigade with 60,000 militiamen, everyone with a Kalashnikov and maybe more. We've got other militias arrayed in Iraq. We have an ineffective central government. We have an army and police force that are riddled with mostly Shiite loyalists who are using their uniforms to settle scores.
Exactly.
And so I understand what you're saying, Scott, but if we use overwhelming force, I think that harkens back to the kind of people who continue to argue that if we had just nuked Vietnam, we would have won. And I believe that the use of overwhelming force would compound the negatives that the U.S. enjoys today and simply make things worse. Because if we agree that the Johns Hopkins estimates are somewhere in the range that at least 500,000 Iraqis have died, are we willing to see another 100,000 killed in a very visible and public way?
Yep.
I don't think so. We'd have to do it very quietly and very privately. And there's, you know, as far as I know, and history buff out there could call in, but the only successful anti-insurgency action was conducted by the British, and they did it by either buying off the leaders or killing them. So this is like a snake hunt, and just whatever plan that the Rumsfeld has come up with, whatever plan Gates is going to try, there is no like I said before, there's no solution. I said overwhelming force because we'd have to refight the battle we should have fought 3 years ago, which doesn't have any legitimacy anyway when you start talking about exporting democracy.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a whole reason that nobody meddled here before, not since the British, in 1918. And those idiots just didn't get it.
Well, you're right about that. Billy, anything else?
No, that's it, Peter. Thanks, Mark.
Okay, thanks for your call today. And, you know, the other argument that I would make, Scott, is that I imagine that there's at least one scenario that has been presented to the president, which is that we prepare to leave, and on our way out, whether we use assassins or, you know, find ways to get other people to pull the trigger, we take out the people who we consider to be most problematic, starting with Muqtada al-Sadr. I don't support that plan because I think the unintended consequences and the unpredictable consequences are too risky to engage in. But I see that as a potential scenario for this administration, thinking, well, we're going to pull out, but we're going to make sure to neutralize or just terminate the most threatening elements to the United States present in Iraq.
That's a pipe dream because he'd just be replaced by one more firebrand Shia minister, if you will, and his memory, he'll be martyred, and the case against the United, the great Satan, will breed an entire brand new list of Shia that despise us and plan, you know, 9/11-like operations.
Well, we now have the what we know is a move by the leaders of Saudi Arabia to support the Sunnis in Iraq, and apparently the message directly delivered to Dick Cheney 2 weeks ago on his whirlwind visit to Riyadh was if you pull out, you, the U.S., pull out, Saudi Arabia will fill that gap, and we're going to support the Sunnis. Now, that's the civil war that would you know, really be the ultimate.
Well, Peter, one of the things last week we talked about the ISG report, and one of the things that hasn't got any play that I've heard, maybe I'm crazy, maybe I've been living under a rock for the last week, is the fact that the Saudis have been funding, privately funding, the Sunni insurgency, and the people they're killing, Shias, no doubt, but they're also killing Americans. And I thought Saudi Arabia, they were our allies.
That's what I've heard.
And so the whole idea, I mean, why is this such a shock? I'm surprised that this deal about the Saudis, the funding, the insurgency made it into the report. And then, of course, it hit the media. I saw one report saying that they were, in fact, doing it. Now they've just sort of admitted it.
Mm-hmm.
Not sort of. They have admitted it.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and it's curious because Prince Turki, spelled Turki, was formerly the chief of intelligence in Saudi Arabia. He came to Washington as the ambassador to the United States about 2 years ago when his relative, Prince Bandar, was recalled to Saudi Arabia. Bandar served 22 years as the U.S. ambassador and was considered an honorary member of the Bush family. Turkey apparently, you know, didn't like Washington, but there's still a lot of speculation as to why he hastily returned and his resignation was leaked this past Monday.
Interesting. He's getting ready to get the bullseye painted on his forehead as well, obviously by the Saudi government. That's scary.
Yeah. Peter's on the line from Chicago. Hello, Peter. You're on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Hi, Peter. I'm a little bit confused as to what your guest is, what he's recommending. Is he recommending an immediate pullout or stay the course until we get the job done?
All right, Scott, if we made you chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, what would be your plan?
If I was the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, I'd resign and go into retirement. Because this is I would be facing something that I would never allow myself to get into anyway. Gates, I don't know what he's thinking. This is not going to be successful, and his tenure lasts 22 months, and then he's out of there, and he's going to be able to point over his shoulder, like so many politicians do, and blame it on Bush. Bush is going to look at the generals. The State Rice has already said, last year, Peter, she blamed it on the troops and the leadership there. Tactical mistakes that were made. You know, that's a bunch of crap. There is no solution to this. And this is the biggest problem. We're spending, $2 billion a month? $2 billion a week?
A week now,
a week.
Yeah.
Well, we have troops dying, and I can't. I'm a tanker. I'm an old tank officer, and people understand force. And we know that if you put cops in the streets, more cops in the streets, that deters crime. So, you know, maybe if we could put 1 million troops into Iraq, we could get control over the situation and sort people out. But then what? The moment we leave, look what happened after we left Vietnam. The Vietnamese and the communist Chinese and the Cambodians were all friends. The Cambodians start killing their own people. Vietnam, and this is something that the right-wingers never talk about, Vietnam invaded Cambodia to stop the killing. China, who was allied with Cambodia, invaded Vietnam, and the Vietnamese and the Chinese had a war that would have probably happened, you know, 20, 30 years sooner if we hadn't have been there. They finally got that sorted out. Now they're all sort of living in peaceful little harmony there. So I don't know we don't have 1 million troops. We're not going to get our coalition partners to put 1 million troops in there. So it's just, I guess, get out. Eject. Pull the ejection seat and get out.
To me, the solution is we need to just leave. I don't know. I can't understand after 3 years why we're still discussing what we should do over there. If anybody with common sense doesn't know what the final alternative here is, they have to be living in some delusional world.
Well, you're talking about the president now. The president does not want to lose. Remember how he crowed? He's quoted as crowing after 9/11 that he's going to be a wartime president?
Oh, yes, but that's why I think what we need to do is keep pushing Kucinich's plan. We've got $70 billion already invested there. That's what's left. We need to take what money is left there, use it to get our troops out, anything that's left, pay for the damages that we've done, and then just start acting like a responsible a superpower that we should be, instead of acting like children. You know, I'm not going to go out of there because, we're there now, but I don't want to look like an idiot. You know, well, you already look like an idiot, so there's not much else you can do about it.
Well, Peter, I'm glad you brought this up, because this is one of the things that I have focused on prior to, but it came into more focus with the Iraq study group. And Bush repeatedly tells us that, we can't even contemplate failure. And yet, I look at the situation, and I believe that we not only have to accept that we have failed, but we have to communicate that to the rest of the world. And there's been a whole lot of damage done, and neither the Baker Commission nor the president really acknowledges how we got here and who's responsible for it. Bush acts like, things haven't... He always talks in positive terms with, some relative modifiers. So he said that we haven't been as successful as he would like to see. Well, the truth is that we have failed, and we failed because it was the wrong policy, and we didn't have enough international support, and we were not smart enough about assessing the risk that we faced in occupying that country for a lengthy period of time. And so those miscalculations have left us in this untenable position, and the president wants a way forward that will preserve his sensibilities and his legacy. But I agree that one of the terrible fallout developments will be that we will have been seen to have left and lost, and that's a legacy that we will have to live with. Well, it's George W. Bush's legacy, and the United States can extricate itself from it over time by first apologizing and recognizing the mistakes we've made and the damage that we've done. It won't be easy, and it won't come quickly. But for Bush to simply harden, double down, and expect to be able to win this through some military strategy is completely false. And until he hears that loud and clear, and until Democratic leaders stand up and confront him and tell him that repeatedly to his face, we're just going to be playing a game that allows more Americans to die.
Unfortunately, I'm very concerned that from what I heard from some people, I heard on one of the radio, I think on Air America, they had some guests on there who supposedly, I can't remember the guy's name, but he was constantly pushing pushing this theory that the Democrats should just stay out of the fray, let the Republicans, get in trouble for what they let them deal with the problem,
and we'll just take care of it after 2008.
Well, Peter, I could accept that political advice on a highway bill, on a battle over a legal issue, but not when people are in harm's way and are dying because of a failed policy that we know has failed, we know it's wrong, we know it can't really be salvaged, and yet the president is playing these rhetorical games and saying, well, I'll decide after Christmas. Peter,
yeah.
Thanks for the call. We got to take
you.
A break.
Bye-bye.
We'll return with Scott Dick here on the Peter B. Collins Show. Lines open if you'd like to join us at 888-5-PETER-B. You're listening to the Peter B. Collins Show. KRXA 540. Progressive Talk for Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz.
In response to rising interest rates, Victor Munoz of Creative Mortgage in Salinas offers the following advice to homeowners with variable rate loans. Don't panic or overreact. If you feel trapped in a frightening squeeze, first analyze your situation calmly, then take the best action available. There are so many types of loans, one is very likely to meet your particular needs. For a free consultation with Victor Munoz at Creative Mortgage, call 757-0436. Let Victor share with you the knowledge that he has built up over many years in the mortgage industry. Call Victor at 757-0436 today.
You got cooking. How's about cooking something up with me?
I'll tell you what I got cooking. Dinner's ready. I went to dinnersready.com, chose 8 gourmet dinners, made an appointment, and went to their storefront in the Country Club Gate Center in Pacific Grove and prepared the meals there myself. Now I'm cooking them in my own home.
What's that you say? Dinner's ready?
That's right. Dinner's ready. It's the newest concept in home cooking. They do all the shopping and chopping, and I get all the credit. If you're too busy to go in and make your dinners, they'll even do it for you. So sign up at dinnersready.com, stop by and see them in the Country Club Gate Center in Pacific Grove, or give them a call at 645-9100. That's 645-9100. Dinner's ready.
Children's books, educational toys, and games your entire family will enjoy are always in season at locally owned and operated Thinker Toys. Hi, this is Nurse Rona of Childhood Matters. We know that our children learn by playing, and the caring staff at Thinker Toys will help you choose the ideal gift for toddlers through teens. Stop by our beautiful Carmel store at 7th and San Carlos and the just renovated Thinker Toys at Del Monte Center in Monterey. Thinker Toys is open daily.
Starting in the Santa Cruz Mountains, Schultes Road, south of Old Santa Cruz Highway, some reports of power lines hanging very low to the roadway, so definitely drive with caution throughout that area there. Santa Cruz, Fine Hill Road at Jarvis Road, we have a vehicle that went about, that solo spin and actually went off the roadway about 15 feet down the cliffside, so CHP is en route as well as a tow truck. Live Oak, Bromer Street at 17th Avenue, we have a two-vehicle accident cleared over to the right-hand shoulder. And keep your eyes open in Marina, southbound 1 after Del Monte Boulevard, reports of a large piece of sheet metal in the left-hand lane there. This report is brought to you by Kmart. This Saturday and Sunday at Kmart, get 50% off men's Joe Boxer flannel pants. For boys, all the Hot Wheels are on sale. Save 40 to 50% off other great gifts for the family throughout the store. Kmart, where Christmas comes together. I'm Diane with traffic on KRXA 540.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show. Scott Dick is with us, our contributor on military and veterans affairs, a tanker, as he describes himself. And, Scott, we took a lot of calls, and back there I promised that we were going to talk a little bit about the shuffle of the top leadership in Iraq. And you have told us on a couple of different occasions that Donald Rumsfeld is the first Secretary of Defense to have taken such a micromanager's approach to the selection and promotion of top military leaders. And why don't you talk a little bit about that, and then I'll ask you if Bob Gates will do the same.
Well, Rumsfeld, normally what's done is the service chief and, you know, his staff, forward names, nominations, because nominated, 3 stars and 4 stars are nominated positions. In other words, once you make 2 star, that's fine. In order to make a 3rd star or 4 star, you have to have the job that goes along with it. Then you have to have the Senate's approval to retire at that rank. So these guys can shift it around normally their name is just when they have a three-star opening, they submit a name, and it gets chopped off by the Secretary of Defense. He's the first Secretary of Defense to personally vet those officers. In other words, they had to pass the rummified test. If they weren't rummified, they didn't get the job. So he surrounded himself with the sycophants, people who could say yes to him instead of, hey, here's the honest answer. And there are different levels. Then you have the level of the political appointees at the very top, and they have higher firepower over everybody else. Then you have the professional bureaucrats that have been in those departments. They don't get moved around. One, they're protected by a pretty strong union, and they can resist stupidity only to a certain extent.
Now, wait a minute, Scott. I'm a union guy. You tell me there's a union for bureaucrats at the Pentagon?
Absolutely.
I didn't know that. Who is it? The auto workers or the Teamsters?
It's the civil service union. American Federation of. It's a powerful union.
Oh, like AFSCME, state and federal employees.
Yeah, and they stood up to him on a couple of things. Right when he came in, he wanted to contract out a bunch of civilian jobs. And a friend of mine was still in the Army at the time, and he said, "What they've said is they're going to have to change some laws to do it. But what everybody else is saying, what they're trying to do is illegal." So they fought a big fight with the civilian bureaucracy there. Mm-hmm. So there's this professional level that can fight stupidity only to a certain extent. And then you have all the guys that are on their 2 or 3 year rotations at the Pentagon. Those guys, you know, it's an important ticket punch. Don't forget this, listeners, to have a colonel or a lieutenant colonel or brigadier general pop into the Pentagon and work there 3 years, get out of there with his skin, and go on to bigger and better things, which is, as far as I know, all real officers. They want to be with troops. They want to lead troops in some way.
Mm-hmm.
So those punch ticks, they don't do anything. They don't rock any boats. They just execute what they're told to do. And if I don't see and hear about a huge wave of resignations, I'm going to be just worried to death, Peter, because that means nothing's going to change at the political appointee level. Gates is going to be working with the rummified of people, which means nothing's going to change.
Well, Cambone and a couple of the other undersecretaries have already resigned.
Because Rumsfeld brought him in, and he's going to take him off to whatever job he gets, the head of Halliburton or, whatever big government contracting company is going to hire him so he can, continue to double dip.
Yeah.
So that's not going to change.
So I realize that it's hard to speculate about Gates. He has never worked at the Pentagon before. As an outsider, but an inside player at the CIA and in government circles, do you think he'll continue the rummy approach, or do you think he'll go back to the more hands-off approach of the past?
Well, let me just answer this in a kind of a weird way. Rumsfeld was trying to do two things at once. In his mind, he was trying to fight a war. And two, he was trying to remake the military, and it's a military transformation. So the same people that he was trying to get to conduct this war on terror, as he called it, are the same people that he was going to fire if they didn't, or they're eventually going to get fired anyway, as he streamlined the military and made it more rapidly deployable, blah, blah. If Gates is smart, he'll stop this transformation nonsense cold. Sort this war on terror out, and I've used their terms. You know, Peter, how much I hate that.
Yes,
war on
I
terror.
Do. Mm-hmm.
It's a tactical device like the night attack. So he needs to do one thing at a time. He needs to get in bed in bed with his generals and figure out the smartest, best way to keep our troops from getting killed any longer. Notice I didn't say anything about winning or any other nonsense.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And then he's going to have to execute. Then if he's he's going to be done. So transferring the military, I think, is probably going to be a dead issue right now because you can't do both at the same time.
Now, you just properly referenced and were skeptical about this phrase, global war on terror. And it's interesting, I mentioned this last hour, that Cal Thomas got Don Rumsfeld to admit that, he had some regrets. He said, "I guess I don't think I would have called it the war on terror." He said it's not a war on terror. Terror is a weapon of choice for extremists who are trying to destabilize regimes and impose their dark vision on all the people they can control. Isn't it refreshing to hear this?
Yeah, in dark vision, at least these nuts have a clear vision of what they want to accomplish. They have a mission. They know what their job is. Unfortunately, our troops aren't so lucky. Peter, I want to bring you back to something, if you don't mind.
Go ahead.
We talk about the metrics of success. Mm-hmm. Let's talk about a measurable metric of failure. And this has got me concerned. If it doesn't have a lot of people concerned, it's because we're not really paying attention. That's the thousands, maybe the million, the brain drain of the most important segment of Iraqi society they've left.
Mm-hmm.
And what happens then is you leave people who can't leave or won't leave. And, you know, that happened in Germany. The best and the brightest, they ran out their social democrats, they ran out their artists, they ran out their writers. And what they got left was an easily manipulable population that turned into Nazi Germany after about 80 years of that. And the metrics of failure is something that we should look at, and it's not just death. It's the other things that show us that we're not making progress, that this is really broken. And you know, one of the things that the Iraqi support group wrote about is the consequences of failure. And one of them, they said, the Iraqi people could be subjected to another strongman who flexes the political and military muscle required to impose order amid anarchy. Well, that didn't sound like such a bad thing right now.
I think some people are wishing for it and looking for that strongman anywhere on the planet.
And the next thing they say is, freedoms could be lost. Well, they don't have any freedoms now, so I don't know what they're talking about.
Scott, thank you. You make some great points. I appreciate your contributions.
It's always a pleasure, Peter.
Scott Dick on the Peter B. Collins Show. Coming up next, it's the Free Speech Zone. Grab a line. Let's talk about things in the news. 888-5-PETER-B. I'm Peter B.
Hi, this is Scott Dick, your host of the Tasty Planet Radio Show. Every Saturday from 1 to 4 p.m., I explore the world of food, wine, and travel across the U.S. and around the world. I interview authors, chefs, winemakers, restaurateurs, brewers, and others that make our world so delicious. Join me and my guests every Saturday from 1 to 4 p.m. for tasty new shows, or visit the Tasty Planet on the web by going to www.tastyplanet.org. Listen in and have a good appetite.
Hi, this is Ed Schultz, America's number one progressive talker. Join me every weekday from noon to 3 here on KRXA 540. I'm based in Fargo, North Dakota, and we bring you news and views from the heartland of America. I'm fighting the righties every day on behalf of the working people who've made the nation great. Tell your friends to listen. Give me a call toll-free, 1-877-934-6833. The Ed Schultz Show, noon to 3 on KRXA 540. Think for yourself.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney. Cream was one of many musical acts nurtured, promoted, made famous, and rich by producer Ahmet Ertegun, the founder of Atlantic Records. Ertegun died today at 83. He'd been hospitalized since injuring his head in a fall at a Rolling Stones concert in New York. Anthony DeCurtis of Rolling Stone magazine.
When he, you know, signed a band like Cream, you know, he knew exactly who they were. When he signed Led Zeppelin, you know, he knew exactly who they were. You know, this was somebody who, you know, who was not looking at marketing studies to tell him what he was supposed to do. He went on the basis of his instincts and his tremendous love and tremendous knowledge about music.
Ertegun, a Turkish immigrant, seemed to have an innate understanding of what the American public wanted.
They want to hear about Rock Me Mama, you know, music they can sing and dance to, and that is real American music.
Ertegun signed a whole range of artists from ABBA to Led Zeppelin. Cautious optimism about Senator Tim Johnson. The chief U.S. Capitol physician says the South Dakota Democrat is making an uncomplicated recovery from surgery to stop the bleeding in his brain, and he's responsive to both word and touch. Apparently, the experts were right when they warned menopausal women against taking hormones. CBS News correspondent Dan Revive has the story.
A 7% drop in breast cancer in the U.S. in 1 year, and the researchers at the University of Texas say the decline was even greater, 12% in women 50 and older. That was 2002 to 2003. The researchers say something went right, and they believe the main reason is that millions of women, middle age and up, heeded cancer warnings around that time and stopped using HRT. Hormone replacement therapy. This was revealed at a conference on breast cancer in San Antonio. Dan Revive, CBS News.
A group of educators and business leaders calls for big changes in schools. CBS News correspondent Tagia Assuris is on the story.
One of the key recommendations is that all high school students should really be streamed to college. All of them won't get there. But the way to do this is to make sure that they are able to pass tests, examinations that at 16 years old would give them the option of going to college so that they would have to pass rigorous tests. Teachers would have to pass rigorous assessments, be taught better, and be paid more, and therefore more teachers, better teachers, would be attracted into the system.
Cause for celebration on Wall Street this afternoon. At the closing bell, the Dow was up 99 points to another record close, 12,416.
We've got a Santa Claus rally going. There's a lot of positive momentum. Corporate earnings are strong. Retail sales are hanging in there, so the consumer is still hanging in there. And a lot of people don't want to sell right now because there's also a tax incentive to holding off until after the first of the year.
CBS News business reporter Alexis Christophorus. This is CBS News.
Tiger Balm presents football superstar Jerry Rice.
Foxtrot.
I can't believe I'm dancing with Jerry Rice.
I can't believe dancing is as hard as playing wide receiver.
Tango.
I'm sorry.
You okay?
Yeah. How do you manage all the aches and pain?
Tiger Balm.
Really?
Tiger Balm works fast and lasts a long time.
Samba.
Whoa. Oh, sorry. I'm such a klutz.
Maybe we should stop.
No, just get me some Tiger Balm.
You sure?
Just give me the Tiger Balm.
If you suffer from aches and pains, go for the balm. Tiger Balm. Now in a convenient, easy-to-apply patch. At drugstores, mass discount stores, supermarkets, and health food stores everywhere.
The big one, really big, really
big.
Don't
miss the big one at Kohl's this Friday and Saturday. It's our biggest sale of the season. Save extra during power hours, featuring 100 night owl and early bird specials. Friday, 3 p.m. to midnight, and Saturday, 6 a.m. to 1 p.m. Save an extra 15% on diamond jewelry, already 60% off, and all toys already 10 to 50% off. Get an extra 10% off all kitchen electrics, already 15 to 50% off, and a digital camera, only $89.99. It's the big one this Friday and Saturday. Kohl's, expect great things.
Advisors to the Food and Drug Administration will make recommendations tomorrow on whether the benefits of the antibiotic Ketek outweigh the risks. CBS News correspondent Barry Bagnato explains.
Five government-hired experts closely studied 53 cases in which Ketek was suspected of causing severe liver disease. They linked the antibiotic to more than half of them. An FDA advisory panel is reviewing the popular drug. Ketek's maker, Sanofi Aventis, presented its own research led by George Washington University liver specialist James Lewis.
The safety appears quite good. Comparable to other drugs already on the market.
This review also was prompted by a controversy over how the drug was originally approved. A congressional probe finds the FDA didn't tell the panel that a key company safety study was being investigated for fraud. Barry Bagnato, CBS News, Silver Spring, Maryland.
You might get your kicks on Route 66, but Interstate 40 in Tennessee is the best road in America. That's according to Overdrive, a magazine for truckers. I'm Bill Whitney, CBS News.
Tiger Balm presents football superstar Jerry Rice.
Foxtrot.
I can't believe I'm dancing with Jerry Rice.
I can't believe dancing is as hard as playing wide receiver.
Tango.
I'm sorry.
You okay?
Yeah. How do you manage all the aches and pain?
Tiger Balm.
Really?
Tiger Balm works fast and lasts a long time.
Samba.
Whoa. Oh, sorry. I'm such a klutz.
Maybe we should stop.
No, just get me some Tiger Balm.
You sure?
Just give me the Tiger Balm.
If you suffer from aches and pains, go for the balm. Tiger Balm. Now in a convenient, easy-to-apply patch. At drugstores, mass discount stores, supermarkets, and health food stores everywhere.
Welcome back to Sports Beat with me, Dan Stevens, and we've got Nancy on a car phone.
Dan, I just missed a turn. Now, should I take a right or a left here?
You know this is Sports Beat, don't you?
To easily get back on track when you miss a turn, you want to ask TomTom, not Dan.
Turn left.
TomTom Go is your portable, everyday GPS solution. Grab it and go. Just tap the screen and a helpful voice guides you where you're going.
You have reached your destination.
TomTom Go. Find your way the easy way. Learn more at TomTom.com.
You've got the Peter B. Collins Show, and this is the Free Speech Zone. Your calls and comments are welcome at 888-5-PETER-B.
888-573-8372. As I was walking, a ribbon of highway, I saw above me an endless skyway. I saw below me a golden valley. Yeah, this land was made. Footsteps to the sparkling sands of her diamond desert, and all around me a voice was calling. Yeah, this land was made for you.
Ah, but not for you, Jose.
And, your land.
And not you, Guadalupe. No, I'm sorry. You're welcome to call this hour and talk about any issue we've been discussing, or perhaps one we haven't. You want to talk about Rummy's regrets about calling it the War on Terror, or anything else we discussed with Scott Dick last hour? Bring it on. You want to talk about Danny Schechter's comments on the bankruptcy bill and the economy here in this country? You can bring that on. And anything else that you want to talk about, you're welcome to call. We don't censor your call, either for your viewpoint or the topic you select. And that's what makes it a robust forum for your thoughts and ideas. 888-573-8372 or 888-5-PETER-B. Now, this land was made for you and me, right? Yesterday, the Department of Homeland Security and its wholly owned subsidiary called ICE, the Immigration and Customs Enforcement Service, staged made-for-television raids at six different facilities operated by the Swift Meatpacking Company. And according to the authorities, over 1,000 people were loaded on buses and carted off. About 150 to 160 individuals were detained not for immigration violations or outstanding warrants, but they are accused of identity theft. And there's a substantive issue there. I realize that some undocumented people working in this country either make up social security numbers or they go to various facilitators and buy the information on existing Americans. So it's possible that there could be a meatpacking worker at a Swift plant who is using your social security number or mine. After all, what is it, 10 digits or 9 digits in a social security number? It's not that hard to make up a sequence of digits. And clearly, there are some illegal workers in this country who choose to use somebody else's Social Security account, even though they will never get the benefit of the taxes paid or the FICA wages withheld or the employer contributions to that Social Security account. It is a compromise they make under difficult circumstances. Now, I'd like to hear your thoughts about this raid, because on the face of it, as part of our attempt to get immigration and our borders under control, I support sanctions against employers who knowingly hire illegals to work. Is that what happened? Well, I'm not sure. The Swift Meatpacking Company was not charged, and Michael Chertoff and his folks at the Immigration and Customs Enforcement, there should be something else on that, department, they maintain that Swift has broken no laws. And gosh, guys, can't you throw us a bone and at least investigate them? Can't you at least say we're trying to find out if the employer violated the law here? And instead, it is the workers exclusively who will pay the price for this. And one of the consequences is that of the 1,000 or so more individuals who were bussed away from their workplaces yesterday, their children were left stranded, many of them at school. Now, can you imagine you're a school-age child and you come home after school and you wait for your parents to come home and they don't show up at the regular time and they're unable to call because they're in custody? And many of these people who were swept up by ICE were taken to locations pretty far from where they were arrested. And we don't have any indication that clear communication was sent to their family members. And this is not the first time that this has occurred. We know from Larissa Alexandrovna of RawStory.com that there was a sweep called Return to Sender in late August in Florida. 1,000 people swept up. We know that in June or July of this year in Santa Cruz, California, Operation Return to Sender swept up a couple of hundred people. And again, families were separated. Now, a Deputy Assistant Secretary of Homeland Security came on television last night and said, oh, don't worry. If they say they have kids, we make it a priority to put them in touch with their kids. But in Texas, in Colorado, and in other states, school districts were scrambling to find placements for students who could not go home because their parents weren't there or couldn't come to pick them up. And I think this was grandstanding. I think this, as I mentioned, was made for television consumption. Made to feed the Tancredo right in this country. To show that our government will be ruthless right here before Christmas at rounding up people, separating from them from their children, and deporting them. Is this the America you want? Let me know. 888-5-PETER-B. On a lighter but a little more twisted note, Matt Renner, our able producer, pulled up the RushLimbaugh.com website today. And it offers more evidence that the right wing is working hard to smear Barack Obama. Now, you may have learned recently, I did only recently, Barack Obama's middle name is Hussein. And just like the Republicans can never get that last syllable of Democratic out, it's the Democrat Party, it's the Democrat this, the Democrat that, they now find it impossible to mention Senator Obama's name without giving the complete, including the fully pronounced middle name. Now, in this country, we typically reserve that treatment for accused criminals and convicted criminals. And Limbaugh has even gone a rung lower because on his website there is a graphic where they photoshopped a picture of Barack Obama and put huge elephant ears on him, and they name him Barack Hussein Odumbo. And Obama confided in the New York Times columnist Maureen Dowd that he's actually sensitive about his ears and he's been made fun of since he was a little boy. Maureen Dowd said, well, we're just trying to toughen you up, Senator. And toughen him up you may. But smear him? No, thank you. Now to your phone calls at 888-5-PETER-B. Jason in Phoenix, you're first. Welcome.
Thank you very much, Peter. I just wanted to make a comment. You had mentioned about holding employers responsible who hire illegal immigrants.
Intentionally.
And as a business owner in the construction industry here in a border state, I could not agree more. We could shut the immigration problem down in a heartbeat by doing just that. And the most infuriating aspect of that is these are the same people, the ones advocating going after the immigrants as opposed to the employers. These are the same people who advocate trickle-down economics. Start at the top and let it trickle down. But with immigration, they want to start at the bottom. It's just infuriating.
Yeah, it really is. And, you know, I want to be really clear, and I try to be fair about this. I believe that we have laws on the books that should be enforced. I believe that the United States has every right to secure its borders as long as it's done in a rational and practical way. And you know, I recognize that it is the magnet of good jobs in America that draws many people here illegally. And if we ever have comprehensive immigration policy reform, we need to address all of these issues in their complexities and recognize that, American industry benefits greatly from the low wages they're able to pay to these people because they don't have legal status in this country.
It has to be comprehensive and honest, and that's why it won't happen, because our government can't be honest anymore. If they'd be honest, that would take care of it right there, but they can't and won't do it.
Yeah. Anything you want to add, Jason?
That was it. Thank you very much.
Great to have you. I appreciate your call today. We got another Jason. He's also in Phoenix, and he's going to be next. You can get right behind him in line here at the switchboard, 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. You can talk about any subject from any viewpoint, from anywhere within the sound of my voice. It's the Peter B. Collins Show. You're listening to the new KRXA 540. Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey for 33 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place long before you open your mouth. Dr. Turner interviews every new patient so that he'll understand what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Sally, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares.
Just arrived. Carmel, a treasure. A first combination calendar history book with souvenir maps archiving Carmel today. Entirely rendered in watercolors by Lisa Bryan, this brilliant calendar and book combo captures the charm of Carmel. A special gift now available at Lisa's studio in Court of the Fountains and other bookstores and gift shops in Carmel. For more information, call Lisa Bryant at 626-5435. 626-5435.
Miguel Sarmiento, owner and chef of the Mexicali Grill in New Monterey, cordially invites you to visit his restaurant and enjoy quality Mexican food prepared with California seasonings and sauces, all with personalized, attentive service. Miguel has more than 14 years of experience preparing Italian, Hawaiian, Mexican, French, and American dishes in restaurants throughout Monterey County. Looking to savor the best Mexicali cuisine served with great margaritas or fine imported or domestic beers? Visit the Mexicali Grill today, located at 204 Lighthouse Avenue at the corner of Reeside Avenue in New Monterey. The Mexicali Grill is open daily for lunch from 11 to 3 and for dinner from 5 to 9. For takeout orders, call 375-9801. That's 375-9801. Miguel has a message for all Central Coast residents who appreciate delicious, high-quality Mexican food at reasonable prices.
Todos son bienvenidos en el Mexicali Grill. Try us. You'll like us a lot.
Monta Vista Wine and Spirits in Monterey is family-owned for more than 40 years. That's why when you walk in, you're treated so well. They know what they're doing. Excellent service and great product. They have the best in high-end liquor and an excellent selection of the finest wines. It's the real deal. At Monta Vista Wine and Spirits, you can call ahead and your order will be waiting for you. They treat you like family. Open every day 9 to 9 at 19 Soledad Drive in Monta Vista Village. Monta Vista Wine and Spirits ask you to please drink responsibly.
Well, we're going to start in Los Gatos. Southbound 17 before Lark Avenue, we have a stall vehicle blocking the center lane. Santa Cruz Mountain, Schultes Road, south of Old Santa Cruz Highway, there's some reports of power lines that are hanging very low to the roadway, so definitely watch out for that. And a solo spin out, Santa Cruz, Vine Hill Road at Jarvis Road. This solo spin out actually went off the roadway, so CHP is on scene as well as emergency crews. Salinas Cooper Road at McFadden Road, we have a stall car blocking one of the lanes. CHP and Roots check out exactly which lane that is blocking. Monterey, northbound 1. After 218, we have a pickup truck with a flat tire in the center divide and a four-vehicle accident in Capitol at southbound 1 before Park Avenue. This report is brought to you by MaxPreps.com. Watch the California High School Football Championships this Saturday, December 16th, on FSN Prime Ticket. Visit www.MaxPreps.com for the game times and details.
The 26th anniversary of the murder of John Lennon outside the Dakota in New York.
But the world watched in horror. Two hijacked planes destroyed our trade center. We better believe it. We better deal with it. takes time to keep you safe, chance.
That's Yoko Ono. And the updated Give Peace a Chance 2004. There was no peace for Yoko Ono, age 73, on that deadly anniversary. And this is a bizarre story. Her driver, a 50-year-old man named Coral Carsan, who's worked for her for 10 years, has been arrested after it's alleged that he threatened Yoko Ono, demanded $2 million, threatened to kill her, and he did so in front of a lawyer for Yoko Ono. This bizarre episode is a conflict with Ono and various employees and confidants. And he is now claiming that he's going to file a sexual harassment suit against Yoko Ono. I have no idea where any of this originates and who's right and who said what and he said, she said. But I'm just saddened that Yoko Ono had to face that on such a difficult day for her. We've got the other Jason in Phoenix now. Jason, welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show.
Thank you, Peter. You know, Jimmy Carter was just here in Phoenix doing a discussion on his recent book about the Jewish-Palestinian conflict. And, you know, the footnote over the book and the hoopla over the title, is it appropriate, is it not appropriate,
right,
made me remember a paper done by a couple of Harvard foreign policy experts about a year ago, called the Israel Lobby, that talked about how the Israel Lobby has undue effort and influence upon our government, and kind of outlined their case. And of course, Alan Dershowitz, I believe, wrote a rebuttal paper in the Harvard Network to rebut it. But I think it's funny how the people in the media and in the right wing story machine are just doing exactly what the Harvard Israel paper said, is that they smear and they immediately attack anyone who puts forth any viewpoint or tries to start any discussion that is contrary to exactly the discussion hardcore supporters of Israel want.
Mm-hmm. Well, we are working to invite the former President Carter onto our program. I would love to talk with him about this and give him the opportunity to explain his views. I find his position quite compelling, and I believe that we need to come to grips with this. As even the Baker Commission said last week, that the problems between Israel and Palestine are very much at the root of the long-term conflicts in the Middle East. I don't believe they're directly related to our adventure in Iraq, but I think that resolution of the problems, including Iraq, requires the United States to return to a position as an honest broker, not simply as a staunch ally of Israel.
You know, and I encourage you to do that, and my apologies for my disrespect to former President Carter. His viewpoint in what his book, I haven't read it, I'm going to read it, but I think what he's trying to say is, let's start a discussion and is there a possibility that an apartheid-like situation is going on in the occupied territories? And no one's discussing that. They want to discuss if the title was appropriate, and I think that's just the classic diversion of minuscule little minutiae that the smear machine wants us to talk about instead of the real issue.
You're right. You're absolutely right. Thank you, Jason. Now to Monica in Phoenix. Welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show, Monica.
Hi, Peter. How are you?
Good, thanks.
I wanted to get back to the immigration issue that you were talking about a little earlier again.
Uh-huh.
And I totally agree with you about the grandstanding. I just find it amazing how the feds will do these things that barely scratch the surface. They're nowhere near the root of the problem, which is the corporations who hire these people. You know, there is an element of crime that goes along with it, but they're coming over here for jobs. They could perform crimes in Mexico, you know, especially in Arizona. They're coming over here to work. If they couldn't work, they wouldn't come.
Mm-hmm.
The other things they don't even consider, like when you're talking about the separation of the families, you know, those kids, I don't know where they think those kids end up, but where those kids end up is at school. They stay at school, and it's very difficult to find family members, to find CPS, to find anybody to help us as teachers. I'm an educator here.
Mm-hmm.
When those children are misplaced, what ends up happening is my 12-hour day turns into a 16-hour day. Well, I'm trying to find somebody to take this child home. It's unreal that they don't, for a minute, think about the effect, I mean, the ripple effect that comes from doing sweeps like that. I'm sure there's no mechanism in place for those children. I'm sure there's nothing being done to make sure that people like me don't end up working 16 hours as opposed to the 12 that we already have to work because we don't have the resources to educate these kids. It's out of control.
And well, Monica,
I completely agree with you.
Monica, get this. This Deputy Assistant Junior Secretary of Homeland Security on, I think it was on PBS last night,
mm-hmm.
She was saying, oh, don't worry. We provide a toll-free number that people can call to reconnect with family members.
Oh, please.
Now, that just is so racist in its ignorance because we know that most immigrants, documented or otherwise, do not want to make any contact with the government.
Absolutely. And I mean, even more ignorant still, they don't even own phones, so many of them. I mean, this is poverty. This is poverty is what it is. It's not a racist issue. Poverty has changed colors in this culture. And if people don't recognize that, I mean, that's the height of ignorance.